The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. Right. No.
Paul Perillo.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine, check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? You shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Wednesday, and around here at Gillette Stadium and pretty much across the league, Wednesday is kind of the day where you turn your attention away from the game that was just played, and you turn it towards your new opponent. And in this case, of course, it's the Arizona Cardinals coming to Gillette Stadium Sunday at 1 o'clock. So we're going to be talking a lot about that and what about what Bill Belichick has to say about the Cardinals. And I know the guys are in the locker room. They should be here any second now. And we'll hear from what the Patriots, the players, have to say about this upcoming game. Big home opener, a lot of excitement here at Gillette, as always every year when the Patriots open their home schedule. You know, but you look at the Cardinals, and this is a team that won 7 of their last 9 games last year after starting 1-6 or whatever it was, and, of course, won last week against Seattle. Now, how good Seattle is this year, you know, who knows? They've got a new quarterback and all that. But the fact is, they won 8 of their last 10 games that they've played. And it counts for something. So, you know, Patriots fans, let's not, you know, dismiss the Cardinals and start looking toward the Baltimore Ravens next week. This could be a tough game. Now, I know it looks like Kevin Cobb is going to be the quarterback, I think. Skelton might have rolled his ankle last week, was carted off. So that's a question as to who the quarterback is. Bill Belichick says that they'll be preparing for both. So, you know, that's a factor in the game. But overall, they've got a pretty solid team. They've got some good guys on defense. And on offense, you know, of course, Larry Fitzgerald is only as good as his quarterback is going to be, but still, he puts up numbers every year, just manages to put up numbers. So, you know, it's not a game to look past. Absolutely not. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And a big day yesterday for patriots.com radio. We started our in-season schedule. John Rook with the Patriots playbook and Fantasy Football Champs followed him. A lot of excitement about those shows. And we'll do the same today. 2 o'clock, John Rook will follow us. And then Cold Hard Football Facts will. What's that? Andy? Andy's here.
I didn't say anything. I
was no, you look at me like you were waiting for something.
No. I was waiting for you to finish the sentence.
Cold Hard Football Facts will be here at 4 o'clock, and that'll complete the lineup for Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. Paul and Andy are here. Guys, what's going on? Are the Cardinals a team that you can look past? And I say yes. No, they've won 8 of their last 10 games that
they've
played.
That is correct.
But yes, it's a team you can look
You can.
Past.
You're
this isn't the NFC West.
You can't look past any NFL team.
Oh, all right. Just a literal.
No, they're not very good. I mean, defensively, they have some guys that can make some plays, could pressure you. And the reason I'm hesitant is, you know, if Dockett nails Brady and knocks him out of the game, well, then you know what?
Okay.
You couldn't look past him.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
but beyond that, no, yeah, you can look past him.
I will say that I think that defensively, the Cardinals are pretty good. And I wouldn't be overly surprised to see maybe a little bit of a slower start offensively. But I fully expect to see 30-plus points again because – the Cardinals just cannot move the football.
And right. You could get another defensive score.
Yeah.
There's nothing saying Cobb's not going to hit somebody in stride for a touchdown.
They have a tackle
the other way.
I'll get the name in a second, but they have their starting left tackle hasn't started a game before last week since 2007, and he never played tackle. So he was a guard when he played. He hasn't played guard in 4 or 5 years.
So Chandler Jones is going.
Chandler Jones could get 5 sacks this week, and
which is huge.
I actually heard Greg Bedard say something similar to that this morning. And I agree wholeheartedly with Greg. It's a bad, bad offensive line. They had Levi Brown, who was their starting left tackle, who went down with a torn triceps. He's out for the year, and he wasn't really good last year to begin with.
Mm.
So now you're dealing with D'Anthony, D'Anthony Batiste is his name. Just came to me. Stream of consciousness. So that's why I think that the Patriots' offense – I mean, the Patriots' defense is going to look really good this week. I could see them going into the game and saying, well, anybody but Larry Fitzgerald, you know, and I could see, you know, Larry Fitzgerald getting 3 catches in this game
right.
easily, you know, and then you look at it and say, wow, Chris Johnson week 1, Larry Fitzgerald in week 2,
right.
they're shutting teams down. This is a very, very limited offense.
I'm looking past this game because it was just brought to my attention that next weekend, at Baltimore for the Patriots,
right.
So it's Jones versus Jones, and John Bones Jones is defending his title on Saturday night on UFC. It's like the all-Jones weekend.
Wow.
I think that's pretty cool.
It is.
I mean, can you imagine as a parent, on Saturday night you're going to watch your son defend his title in what is one of the great up-and-coming sports of the world on pay-per-view, and then the next night you're going to go watch your other two sons battle it out on two of the best teams in the American Football Conference. Like, that's ridiculous.
Get your popcorn ready.
I mean, we thought the McCourty mother had to, like, split her interests a little bit.
Right.
I mean, the Jones family just all over the place. I think that's awesome.
It is good.
I think that's one of the great stories.
It is a great story.
Ever.
Yep.
You know, it
will we talk as much about the Jones brothers playing each other next week as we did last week with the McCourty twins?
The story, I think, will be talked about just as much because of the addition of John Bones Jones and that whole aspect of it. No, because, you know, corners are a little more star, you know, can be... You know, a defensive tackle, which is what his brother is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not really all that good.
And they're not really playing.
Yeah.
They're not playing against each other.
Neither were the McCourtys.
No.
But and they're not twins. That adds a little flair to the story. But I think the three of them on the weekend is, that's pretty cool.
How is, you know, Jones for Baltimore? Is he?
He's okay.
He's solid.
He's like a situational, rotational guy, should I say.
But he's solid.
But he's solid player.
NFL player, not like he's just hanging on by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, he would be like, you know, like a Mike Wright had been for the Patriots in the past. Not necessarily the same kind of player. Jones is
just
a lot bigger, but
situational fifth starter, sixth starter on a 4-man line kind of thing.
All right. Well, it was a busy locker room. I breezed in and breezed out. I know there was a lot of media.
Sarcastic?
What's that?
You being sarcastic?
No, I know there was a lot of media there because it's pizza day.
Yeah. there weren't a lot of players there.
Right.
I don't know why.
Brandon Lloyd talked late. I didn't hear what he had to say, however. There was a big group around him. Andy got Devin McCourty for our TV show this week.
Okay, good.
So,
because it was this close to getting nobody, and you would have seen a 4-minute block on our show. Yeah,
so we had a couple of those, but beyond that, it was pretty quiet in there. You know, I think Gregory talked.
Ridley talked. Big early gangbang.
Yeah. So I guess there were more players that were available than you remember.
I saw Nikovich walk through, didn't stop.
Right, he had his Orioles hat on, and I asked if he was jumping on the bandwagon, and he got a little defensive.
Evidently,
everybody keeps saying that. No, I just like the orange.
Everybody's giving him a lot of static.
I saw Ridley talked.
Yes, we just said that.
Oh. And I saw Mike Giardi, our old friend Mike Giardi, talking with Mankins.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So it looked like he had a little one-on-one on camera.
Oh, for Wednesday Patriots Live?
Maybe, I don't know.
That's a good get for them.
Very good get.
the controversial week for Logan Mankins coming off the report of the ACL injury from last year. That's a good get.
Yeah. So, but you're right. It wasn't that busy in terms of players.
No. Yeah. It was pretty quiet. It was
The player media ratio was not good.
Not good today.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, every single player in the locker room could have been in there, and the ratio may have been 1-1.
Yeah. Where are all these people from?
Yeah, I mean, that's my question.
You know, it's like, okay, so you got Globe, Herald, I guess the Providence Journal still in business.
yes, it is.
You know,
Metro West Daily News, West Springfield Daily, yeah. Has Worcester,
Brockton. Brockton Enterprise.
Brockton,
Foxborough.
Attleboro Sun Chronicle, whatever it's called.
And then,
you know, so there's a ton of smaller papers, you know, the Taunton Gazette, that guy's here all the time. Portland on Mondays, I mean, on Wednesdays comes down. There's
I guess.
A lot of.
But also the website, like Comcast, where, you know, our show is, they send two or three film crews, a couple reporters.
Okay.
And then they have
all the,
three or four
all the
written
TV
reporters.
Channels too.
Well, no, I'm just saying Comcast literally probably has 12 people.
Wouldn't
in
you
the
say
locker.
There were at least 60 media people in the locker room?
Yeah.
Maybe
a little less.
Probably
yeah.
a little less than that, but that's not, I don't think that's outrageous. And, you know, the other thing that, and I know that listeners don't really care about this crap, but the influx of, you know, the online video that you have to have now.
Right.
So all of these different outlets that we're mentioning have additional guys.
Right.
You know, that are running around with cameras for online. You know, not the guys that are covering the teams.
That's
just,
what I think is more the reason for more people.
So many
the same
people.
Outlets are covering that they were
right.
10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
But they need extra guys.
Now there's all this
Comcast
video,
is
web.
A huge one.
Comcast is a lot of people coming. And some of it's for their live show that they do, or kind of live show they do from here. But that's the web and all that multimedia is the real explosion of people.
Okay. So as for, in terms of insight that we got from the few players you were able to talk to, any themes running through today? Because sometimes last year there would be a theme for the week. Have you detected any themes?
Well, one of the
yet?
Themes of the week is the Pittsburgh theme, you know, the Steelers. It's like the Steelers, everything they're doing over there with the coaches, especially defensively, Ray Horton and the zone blitz and Dick LeBeau and that whole thing is one of the definite themes of the week for an uncommon opponent. I mean, you don't play Arizona that often.
Yeah, it's a nice advantage to have.
Yeah, you play Pittsburgh more often than that. You've played them, and they're always the same. So even going back a decade, you're kind of preparing for that Pittsburgh scheme. And then the other I found astounding a little bit was the Bill Belichick quote on Larry Fitzgerald, that he may go down as the greatest receiver ever. I mean, that's pretty high praise, because generally we've talked about this. Jerry Rice is considered the best ever, and he's pretty much the only guy at any position who is almost unanimously
right.
considered
you know
best
goes.
Ever.
That's one of those, if you say someone else is, you immediately get scoffed
right.
at.
Right. But now Bill says, you know, Fitzgerald may go down as
I
best
I think what
ever.
Might stop him is just not having the quarterback throughout his career that Rice had.
But it didn't last year. He had no quarterback, and he averaged 17 a catch with 1,400 yards.
That's true.
Now, you could argue he would have had 2,000 yards and
right.
20 a catch. But, I mean, he still puts up ridiculous numbers regardless of who's back.
He's amazing. He and Calvin Johnson are just in their own league, really.
Well, there's a few guys, but I would say Fitzgerald's for the consistency and ability to do it without a quarterback. Fitzgerald right now is at the
like,
top.
Like, I like
of that
Andre
list.
Johnson, but he doesn't have that consistency that those other two guys have, especially Fitzgerald.
And Calvin Johnson needs to continue to prove it year after year. I think A.J. Green is going to be in that class if Dalton can be good enough for him to be there.
Yep.
So, but anytime Bill says this person could be the best ever at something after his 35, 6 years in the league, that stands out to me. He doesn't
reasons
do that all the time.
Reasons to take notice. I agree with Andy.
And Devin McCourty, for the interview for PFW, talked to him. He said the biggest thing is he just catches everything thrown his way. You know, he runs all the routes, and that's all great, but he catches everything that is thrown his way.
Yesterday, Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels had conference calls, and McDaniels pretty much said that it was game plan related as to the production of Wes Welker. That was how the game plan went.
Boston Globe said this morning that they thought he was benched after the drop.
For a series.
Well,
because he didn't play in the series after the second series. After he dropped the ball in the first series, he didn't play in the next one. Edelman was out there.
Okay.
So the Globe wrote today, Greg Bedard, that it appeared that he may have been benched.
For a series.
For a series.
All right. Do you guys buy that?
I'm not going to dismiss it, but no, I'm not buying it.
Yeah. I'm not going to dismiss it, but no, I'm not buying it. I think you just dismissed it.
No. I mean, saying I'm not dismissing it as a possibility.
Well,
in my opinion,
I mean, that's certainly,
I don't think he was benched.
You know, now we certainly saw more of Edelman in training camp as part of the offense. But last year, you know, Edelman would not take the field without Welker. You know, Welker was on the field, obviously, for more snaps per game than he was. You know, you would never see Edelman instead of Welker.
But conditions on the ground have changed.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So I think there's a possibility that they are saying this could be the last we see of Wes Welker. There's a legitimate chance he's not a Patriot next year. This is coming near the end where you got to decide what Edelman is going to be.
Right, because he's getting...
We need to rotate him through and see if he can be an option long term.
Right.
Because it's not going to cost you much to re-sign Julian Edelman. If you decide, A, he's our punt returner, and B, now I think he's actually a pretty good slot receiver, but you need to find that out.
Yep.
And maybe the plan going into this season was, we need to mix Edelman in a little
this
bit every week.
Right, this is a kind of...
That's why I'm not dismissing it as a possibility, but I don't think he was benched. I think what Andy's scenario that he just threw out there, I think, is a very plausible one. And it's one, you know, we taped All Access this morning that airs on Fridays, and we talked about this a little bit. It was a small part of the segment, but I think what Andy just said makes a lot of sense. They need to prepare for life possibly next year without Wes Welker. And I think it's kind of twofold. You also have to figure out what Julian Edelman is.
Right. He's certainly faster than Welker, but can he be, like you said, Andy, a decent slot receiver? And the only way you're going to find that out is get him out there.
Reps.
At real times of the game, not, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter with a 28-point lead.
Yep.
You know, that helps. I mean, that helps give you experience, but when you really want to find out about a guy, it's like in baseball, you know, when the roster's expanding in September, you don't really find out about guys. It's nice to get them get their feet wet and everything, but you don't know what a guy is doing now. You don't know what Julian Edelman can do until you put him out there on a regular basis in a real part of the game with real players.
Well, I think it was less of benching and more of that.
Yeah, and that's why I said, and can I say with any certainty that it wasn't a benching?
Yeah.
No, that's why I don't want to dismiss it as a possibility, but I think what Andy said makes more sense to me than he was benched. I think there's a possibility that they went into that game knowing full well that Julian was going to play the second series. You know, there's a possibility that that was the plan.
Yep.
And it just sort of looked bad that he dropped a pass in the first series, didn't play the second series, and then ended up with only three catches.
Right. Yep.
You know, so now everybody wants to listen. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't think the speculation is let's put it this way. It's not as dumb as a lot of other things that we've made a big deal out of in the past. I mean, there's reason to wonder why he went from 90-something percent, according to Mike Reese, to 60-something percent play time.
Yep.
That's a big difference. You know, was it just the multiple tight ends, the missing that series for Edelman,
wanting to see more of Edelman?
The additional runs
that
you had in the game, was that, you know, was it game plan related, as Josh said?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for blocking, you know, you take Welker out, you know, because he's not really, you know.
Yeah, I just think it's dangerous to make a lot of assumptions off of 1 week, one series, but certainly 1 week for a team that we've seen over the years can be totally different on any given three-week stretch in three straight games. That's, you know, sort of the one thing you can say about Bill Belichick's team. It's a game plan team. They're going to game plan each and every week and aren't afraid to change. Who knows this week? This week you might not see a tight end step on the field. I'm never surprised with what he changes.
Well, that was a question Brian in Somerville wrote in. He wanted to get our comments on Greg Bedard on DNC this morning, you know, saying that he was benched. So there's our answer to that. You know, and like Paul said, we're not ruling it out, but it's probably more of the latter. It's probably more – I'll bet you that they had planned that Edelman was going to get a certain amount of series, you know.
Because why would you bench it? Like, I don't understand. I mean,
he
dropped it.
Right.
He didn't do anything.
It just doesn't seem like something you would bench somebody over.
Not Wes Welker.
Like, everybody on this team has dropped passes.
Right.
Everybody. You know, whether you think Gronk has the greatest hands ever, he's dropped passes. You know, Hernandez has obviously dropped passes.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me that you would bench him because he dropped a pass.
No. Joe,
especially if you're looking long term, if you're really looking at it, the last thing you want to do for a guy who ended last season with a key drop or failure to complete with Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and is in a contract situation, The last thing you want to do for me is create a little, you know, create some noise, as Bill Belichick would call it, noise.
Right.
And to me, if you bench a guy like that, you're creating a little noise.
Well, Ty Law is on New England he's on with Comcast, I guess.
Yes.
And Wes Welker is, I think, their post-game set interview. The first thing Ty Law said is, "You're getting squeezed in a contract year?"
Both said it to him. Yeah, Fred's right.
Ty's funny, though, because...
Yeah.
You know that's the first thing that would come to a guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because Wes Welker is the CEO of Wes Welker, Inc., and he didn't get to play.
Clearly, they think, and Troy Brown's the other player, I think.
Right, Troy Brown and Ty Law.
Clearly, they think that that's a possibility, the way they were talking.
Well, I think everybody thinks it's a possibility, right?
That to me, if a team ever did that, would be the stupidest thing you could ever do, to put that ahead of what's best for the organization, because certainly that is not what's best for the organization this year.
But I think that
this year. Right. Well, now, you could argue, and I've said this, if he comes off a year with less stats, he may be easier to re-sign. And if you get him on a three-year deal for $15 million, paying him $5 million a year, couldn't you argue that's in the best interest of the team to keep Wes Welker for the next 4 years?
There's no way I would sacrifice.
But doesn't Bill always say, in the best interest of the team, short and long term?
You're using some absolute terms here that I don't think are relevant. Now, listen.
You think if Bill thinks he's going to lose, he would do it? I think he thinks we're good enough to win even without
Wes. This is the ultimate Oliver Stone thing. This is the ultimate conspiracy theory, okay? But you put it out there. Let's talk about it. You can't say that Bill would purposely lose games to keep anybody's numbers
down. No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, you're saying that you would risk losing games.
Yeah,
you don't have to risk losing a game to keep a guy's numbers down.
No, but
those two things don't have to be.
You don't make game decisions saying, you know, we got to keep
Welker's
numbers
down. But what if you do this? What if you go in and say, listen, we have it over this defense any way we want. They can't handle our schemes. Sorry about that. Hit the mic. They can't handle our schemes. They can't deal with our relentless assault. We can run on this team. We can pass on this team. We can throw deep. We can throw short. Okay, so why don't we run, throw deep, and leave out the throw short part? You don't think that's a possibility? In a conspiracy
world?
On a team
that we know the tight ends are now the core.
This is what I'm saying. You don't necessarily have to sacrifice something that it was going to help you win the game. You just can opt to do other things that are going to help you
win
the game.
Convenient byproduct.
More often.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you looked at the way they went about that game on Sunday, do you have any doubt that the score would have been the same if they had targeted Wes Welker 12 times?
Yeah, probably about the same, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think it's just a silly, you know, talk radio topic to say, well, you know, you might be able to keep his numbers down and make him more affordable, like Andy says. Instead of 3 years at $27 million, maybe we can get him for 3 years $15 million.
It has to cross your mind.
It's like that thing where I know the Patriots like to avoid personal stat incentives, but you know, when a guy's getting close to an incentive and the coach purposely doesn't let him run the ball or throw to him just so he won't reach that, so he doesn't have to pay the incentive. I mean, I know that has happened in the past.
But you can argue that has
not
definitive
here, but,
negative
yeah.
results in your locker room for the rest of your team.
And yeah, not just for that individual,
but for the whole team. I'm talking about the team.
I just don't think Belichick would stupid to do something like that. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just
that
think
it's
you
stupid.
Go out.
Yeah, you keep making it like these definitive negative statements. Like, I don't necessarily think that Bill would do anything to possibly jeopardize winning.
Right.
But I don't think you have to do the other thing.
Yeah, I just don't think you go in. I think you go in and, you know, you have your – maybe you script your first 20 plays. You know, I don't know if the Patriots do that type of thing. But then it's – you get a feel for the game. You're Josh
McDaniels.
But I'm talking
about a game
plan. You're seeing what
they're
doing. You know, you're seeing what they're doing. And, you know, if the game plan – if you think that you can do anything you want, like you just said –
No, what I'm saying is there are all kinds of options in a game plan. And you think they're going to work. You keep saying that I don't think Bill would ever do anything to jeopardize a win. I agree. I don't think he would ever even contemplate doing something that he thought wasn't going to be in the best interest of the team to win that game. I totally agree. There's no way he would do that.
Yeah, and I also,
but I think there are 18 different things that he could do that he thinks are best to win that game.
I also think that he's the kind of guy that believes that things just kind of like that take care of themselves. You know, he said it often that, you know, sometimes you don't have to make decisions early. Sometimes time, you know. So if Wes Welker ends up with another 120 catch season, okay, you'll decide at the end, do we want this guy or not? You know, I don't think you have to go in and with that type of attitude now. It's
I give Bill more credit than that. I don't think he lets a lot of things just, quote, happen. I think he tries to control everything he can control.
I think he respects players too much to do things like that. I just think that's...
And I also don't know that it's that big a deal, because the way I look at it, Wes Welker is now the third option on this team behind Gronk and Hernandez. Those two are now the number one and two options.
As far as passing, yes.
Yeah, as far as passing, right. And I'm not saying on any given play or whatever.
As far as offense
but
goes.
But he is now the third option there.
Yep,
I agree.
So if your third option becomes your fourth option on a day, or I just don't think it's that big. Now, if he said, I'm not throwing to Gronk and Hernandez. Now, this is just pie, because he can throw to them all he wants. He's got them under contract for the next 6 years. But if he said, I'm not going to throw to my best athletes, my best options, now I think there's a direct connect to not being as good. When you take your third or fourth option, who's a slot receiver, you know, and your running back happens to be running better, I don't think there's a direct connection to a short-term negative impact.
And I know what you're saying, because they don't have to.
And I think you can argue there is a long-term positive benefit from it.
Yeah.
And it's just out there. I mean, whether it's true or not, Ty Law, Troy Brown, Paul comes over, you know, and I said, what do you think Wes Welker's thinking right now? Maybe Rutrow calling his agent. It's whether it's fact or not, it's going to be talked about. It's going to be a perception.
Right.
And it's, again.
And I don't think Brady would allow that, by the way, either. I mean, he has input.
You think Brady has a lot more juice
than
I
do.
Well, you can't make him be on the field if he's not on the field, first of all.
Yeah. I think if, you know, I just don't think Brady would buy into that. He'd question it.
But see, again, you keep...
I think it's more subtle than you think it is.
Yes, you keep making
it
such an
overt
thing.
I think you think they got the playbook and it says, no Wes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's that.
It's not such an overt thing that every Tom, Dick, and Harry says, my God, you see what they're doing to Wes Welker? No, they're not. They're too smart for that.
It's just, you know, maybe Josh and Bill have a little conversation, and when it's 3rd and 7 and you're looking for a guy to run a comeback at the sticks...
And by the way...
Have Gronk run that.
As I said
yesterday...
Yeah, but
because he's better at... Maybe... Because it's a better option.
And because, by the way, it'll help us a little bit down the road.
The only consideration is what's the best option.
So you think they made a short-term? No, that's not true.
He says it all the time, short and
long
term.
Not in winning games.
But you think that they made some mistakes last year then by focusing on Welker because that wasn't the best option?
I believe it was the best option.
Oh, okay. So based on a game, that's changed.
Based on more weapons, it might have changed. You got Lloyd now.
You had Branch last year.
Now
they have more weapons, Paul. A week ago, he was worried they didn't have
enough
weapons.
And it's unbelievable. The calendar day changes, and the argument changes. Last week, it was basically all they did was change Lloyd for Branch.
No, I said in that last year,
that's what you said.
A lot of times, you know, Gronk wasn't available. You had to go to Welker.
Wait. When? Was Gronk not available last year?
I'm not talking about in the game.
I'm
not talking about playing. I'm talking about as an option on a play. Maybe he was blanketed and Welker was the only option Brady had. I think Welker has bailed out the Patriots.
Why wasn't Hernandez an option?
I think Welker was an option time and time again on third down. He's bailed them out several times. And you can't diminish.
But now you're saying that he's not that. He shouldn't be that.
Well, maybe not. Maybe with Josh McDaniels, maybe the offense is that much better. Maybe Hernandez is that much better. Maybe because Lloyd is getting attention that Branch didn't get, maybe that opens up for Gronk, things on the inside for Gronk and Hernandez. Things have changed since last year in this offense.
But you're going under the premise that teams...
Maybe. I haven't seen it.
You're going under the premise teams don't have, quote, go-to receivers.
Yes.
And I know the Patriots have tried to tell you for years that they go to the open guy.
Oh,
they have go-to
last
receivers.
Last year, the go-to receivers was Welker and Gronkowski.
Right.
What about Hernandez?
And Hernandez.
But I think he
caught 80 passes, Fred.
But he did.
Yeah, he did. But I think that, and I think the emergence of Hernandez has lightened the load on Welker. There's no doubt about it. You know? But there was a time on this team that Welker was go-to.
Yeah,
right.
A game ago.
You know? But
this is my point, because
Hernandez and Gronkowski has gotten better doesn't mean Welker hasn't. I mean, Welker has gotten worse.
No, but it moves him down the depth chart. If you say
we have options, as an option,
A, B, and C.
I don't think it's nefarious.
Well, no, I think it's contractual. I think that they have two tight ends.
I don't.
Well, I don't know how you cannot see it that way. They have two tight ends.
But it's not a fact. It's a possibility.
No,
we
I'm
post.
Saying you see that side of it is what I'm saying.
Oh,
they have two tight ends that they locked up. That is the best interest of your football team, is to make these guys your focal point on offense, because they're going to be here for the foreseeable future. But, I don't
and
know
also
about
because
the other
guys. They're better options.
Well, why were they not better options a game ago is my question. They were better last year, too.
I don't think in every situation they were.
Well,
not
then,
because
then they're
of,
not then this year
not
either,
because
then.
Of their ability, because of what other teams were doing.
That's all. All I'm saying is last year you had the same options as you do this year. You've chosen to accentuate others, and I don't have any problem with that. That's smart football.
I know, but that
Bill Belichick would be wise if he said to himself, this is my meal ticket. Gronk,
I
Hernandez,
know, but
they're going to be here. I need to do what I can to make them the focal point of the passing game. That's a smart
football
move.
You can't go
move.
By one game, but...
No, you can't. I mean, for all we know, Wes is going to go out and catch 10, as we said to Nick yesterday.
But
Wes could catch 10 on Sunday.
But we do see that we had...
For the team we trade him to?
The Patriots...
Don't confuse them.
You know, after one game, we did have other options that we didn't have last year. We had a running game that we probably didn't have as good last year, and we had Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah,
so
you took away an option in the passing game, and you added an option in the passing game. So you're back at ground zero.
Yeah, but I think that Brandon Lloyd probably attracts attention in certain areas of the field that maybe Deion Branch didn't.
See, I don't understand that. He had a guy covering him. Branch had a guy covering him last year.
Yeah, all I'm saying...
They didn't double cover Brandon Lloyd.
I think being able to run the ball over 20 times...
Yes, they ran the ball more often... On Sunday than they did last
year. So now
those
are options they didn't have.
They only ran
year.
The ball as many times as, I think, four times all year. They ran the ball as many times as they did on Sunday.
Something like that.
Something
yeah.
like that. So that's indisputable. They ran the ball more often. Yeah. The options thing, I'm not buying. The options are the same.
Well, no, I think running is an option.
All right, Fred. So they ran the ball five more times than they did last year. Okay. I'm giving you that. The passing game, they did not look at Wes Welker as often as they did last year.
Yeah.
And again, he could go out and catch 10 passes Sunday. I wouldn't bat an eye.
And how do we know that, you know, necessarily Branch, you know, on a one-to-one was replaced by Lloyd? Branch might have been replaced by Edelman in their minds, and Lloyd is an added guy. You know what I'm saying? In terms of, you
because,
know, what...
Because Edelman and Welker weren't on the field together.
They were a lot. Absolutely they were.
Well, not according to Greg Bedard of the Boston
Well,
Globe.
I know.
Mean,
for,
I'm
in
just
that
going
one,
by, he said that
in
Edelman
that one series, it was just
series.
Edelman. But in other series, they had Welker and Edelman on the field a lot.
Not a ton, just so you know. Okay. Edelman didn't play that much.
Well, I'm telling you, they were on the field at the same time except for that one series. You know, so that's not something that it has to be one or the other. They had both on the field.
All I'm telling you is to say that Brandon Lloyd is an option that they didn't have last year is incorrect. It's a better option than they had last year because I think he's a better player than Deion Branch. But you make it sound like Deion Branch lined up outside the numbers last year and no one covered him. They all double-covered Welker and Gronk.
Well,
he had a guy on him just like Lloyd had a guy on him. Lloyd's better.
I think that...
That's. I mean, am I wrong on that, Andy? Am I simplifying that too much?
Here's what I'm going to say.
No, I don't want to get you
Here's what I'm saying. That... In the past, and it has gotten better over the years because of the emergence of Gronkowski and Hernandez, but Welker was needed more than he will be this year. Yes or no?
That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I think
and I don't think that's nefarious. I don't think that has to do with the conspiracy.
But I think if he was here for the next 4 years, that wouldn't be the case. If he was under contract for four more years, they wouldn't be looking at it like that. That's all I'm saying. They're looking at it smartly and looking at not only the present, but the future.
Oh, so you're buying into it.
No, I'm saying I can understand that line of thinking. You make it sound like this big overt thing that they're just freezing Wes out. I'm not suggesting they're doing that.
No, I'm not.
I think that they have looked at...
Did I say that they're doing that?
No, you're saying that this is impossible because there's no way they would do
that. I'm saying they're not doing
that. I'm saying it wouldn't be an overt thing like that. They're looking at the best interest of the team.
Right.
Which is Gronkowski and Hernandez locked up to 18 and 19. That's why the time is now to turn it over to
him, but
in my opinion.
In a given game.
That's why it makes sense to do that.
But in a given game where a team, and I know it would be very hard to do, but let's say a defense had an answer for Gronk and Hernandez, they wouldn't force the ball to those guys, would they? Just because they're tied up long term?
No, but I still think that their key going into a game would be to get the ball to those guys.
Sure.
Then they would have to adjust if they weren't able to do it.
They offer the biggest mismatch.
Right. Just like a game ago, Welker was that guy.
No, he wasn't.
One game has changed it.
What are you talking about?
Last year, Welker was that guy. They went into every game and said, we got to get the ball to Welker.
No, I don't think they did that.
Okay.
I think it's gotten less and less because of the emergence of Gronkowski and
it
Hernandez.
It didn't get less last year when he caught 125 passes.
But
I'm not the biggest Welker guy out there, but that was the number one option of the passing game last year. I think they're correct in changing that this year because I think the tight ends are better than Welker.
Right, but not because of his contract.
Well, I think if he was under contract going forward, he would still be 1A. Let's put it that way. He's clearly 3 now.
Yeah, see, I don't buy that. You know, I still think the contract wouldn't change the fact that Gronkowski and Hernandez are better options.
I thought the tight ends were better options too.
So you think they forced the ball into Welker because
he
was under
the number
contract?
One option?
Why?
Because they thought that was best. See, this is
right.
What I'm saying.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with a contract.
So you don't think contracts ever play into
it? Oh my God.
You know, I think that when you have a guy that is on a big money contract, you expect more out of him. No doubt about it. I mean, this guy, we're paying you to do X.
And you get him more opportunities to do it.
Well, because we expect you to.
Right.
If he stops doing it, you're not going to force
him. Okay, when did he stop doing it?
No, hold on. I said anyone. I'm not talking about Welker.
He stopped fighting. He was pouring a soda. Then he had to grab the mic.
I'm not talking about Welker. I'm talking about any player. Big money contract. If that guy starts screwing up on the field, you're not going to force it to him just because you're paying him a lot. You're going to, you know.
I may be skeptical or a cynic or whatever, but I think contracts play into thought processes.
I think it does.
Like, I don't think Gronkowski and Hernandez would be treated exactly the same if they hadn't signed long-term
extensions. Absolutely. And I don't think you give big money to a player that you don't expect a lot from. It's hand in hand. You give them the money because they make the plays.
No, but I also think sometimes people consider, well, you know, we don't really need to go overboard in the Hernandez direction because we haven't re-signed him yet. And we don't need to inflate those numbers any more than we need to right now. Not because we're going to lose if we don't, but because we have Wes Welker and Rob Gronkowski. You have other options. I don't think this would be done if they had no other options.
I think that happens, but I think it's short-sighted and stupid.
See, I think it's long-sighted and
I think that's where Andy and I have the difference with you.
You don't think it would be great if you could get Wes Welker for 3 years, $15 million, and have him on your team for the next 4 seasons? That's not a good long-term thing for the New England Patriots?
Well, sure.
Right. Okay, so there's a long-term benefit to it.
And I don't think they'd hurt it. I think that the number one option should be what they are.
But if you do that, are you going to all of a sudden use him more?
I don't know. All I'm saying is in games when you know you're going to win against the Tennessee Titans and the Arizona Cardinals, and you have two options that you think are already at least as good, if not better than him as your options, the fact that you can conveniently go to those, you can still lean on Wes Welker against the Ravens or against the Niners when you don't take anything for granted. You can maybe lean on him a little heavier if you need to. But I'm just saying a convenient byproduct is maybe his numbers are lower and maybe long term it helps you resign.
Yeah, I think that puts... I just don't think – I think Bill runs it as a meritocracy. I think the best players make the most money, like they do on every team, but I think he enters the game saying, how are we going to beat this team? And I don't think who's making what money comes into play. I really don't. But I could be wrong.
I don't think it comes into every play, but if it's a meritocracy, I've seen nothing from Wes Welker to lead me to believe he should not be on the field and Julian Edelman should be.
Well, yeah. I mean, how did he lose playing time to Julian Edelman then?
No, it could be for exactly what we said. We need to see what Edelman
can do.
Well,
then that's not a meritocracy.
But that's what we're saying.
That's not a meritocracy, because a meritocracy would be the best receiver be on the field, and Wes Welker was the best
receiver. And by the way,
so you're saying there are long-term thoughts that come into this.
Just let me get
the best guys to help us win.
That's Wes Welker again.
Right.
So you're admitting that other thoughts come into this.
And the thing that I'm just trying to bring out is that it's just odd to me that one game ago that was the best option, and now we've all of a sudden we've turned the page. And listen, I want to restate this because I think not only might it happen, like Andy said, you know, these things might come into play. I think it's smart. I think if the Patriots are doing it, I think it's the right thing to do. Not freezing out. Don't use such, you know, strong language. It's not an overt, we're not trying to lose games to prove a point. That's the way it's sort of portrayed. It's a conspiracy to keep Wes Welker's numbers down. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think that's what they're doing. But I do think you sign two elite tight ends long term, and the thought process is now is the time to turn the offense over to them. I think that's smart business. I think it's smart football. I think everything about that makes 100% sense. Why should I continue to keep my offense?
Yeah, but that's not really addressing the issue.
Right.
No, what I'm saying is why should
Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Wes Welker's limited playing time. That's the issue. It's not any – I mean, last year the heart of the offense was the tight ends. You had 160 or 70 catches between them. They were – the issue is the receiver position, and why did Julian Edelman come on the field for a series or on the field more often and that? I don't think it's an issue about tight ends.
But I think that's – all right, well, I'll say the same thing that I said about the tight ends. I think it's smart business to look at a guy who I think I have a very good chance to lose, and I have to make a decision about a younger guy who, as we can all agree, is going to be much easier to re-sign.
Right.
Under any circumstances, Wes Welker could catch 35 passes. Julian Edelman will be the easier guy to re-sign if you need to re-sign him. I don't even know what his contract situation
is. But you need
is.
To know what he can do before you make
exactly.
that decision.
Exactly. That's why it's smart, even though I don't think Edelman is as good as Welker.
But
I don't think Edelman's as good as Welker, but I have no problem if Bill says, I need to find out about Edelman.
Right, but I don't think that plays into the conspiracy about thinking about Welker's contract next year. I don't. I think that
So why do we need to find out about Edelman then?
Because he's going to, you know, we have to know what he can do on this
why?
Team.
It doesn't matter about contracts.
Because we've seen things in camp.
We didn't need to know what he did last year.
You just said it doesn't matter about contracts. So what do we need to know about next year for?
Because he could help our team. So
why?
We have to find out.
So could Welker.
I think Edelman's faster.
So now you think Edelman's better than Welker.
I said he's faster.
So okay.
If he's improved, like maybe they saw indications over camp that, hey,
but
this
Fred,
guy
you're saying what Andy
up.
And I are saying. You're saying you need to find out about Edelman. Why? Because we need to find out who we're going to re-sign. That's why. Contracts
count. No, I think he's
count.
Talking right now. He thinks
right.
Edelman could be better than Welker
yeah,
right now.
But you
now.
Know he doesn't really think
no,
that.
No, that's not what
and
I'm
not,
saying.
See, I
well, then,
that.
If you're sticking with your meritocracy, then Edelman shouldn't step on the field unless you think Edelman is better.
I want to see what he can do.
The preseason and practice is for proving guys.
Edelman,
Sundays
Edelman
is for winning
did
games.
Not replace Wes Welker. He was on for a series when Welker wasn't.
Okay, why was Welker not on the field? That's what we're discussing.
Because they wanted to give a shot to Edelman, see what he can do.
So it's not a meritocracy. It's not the best players always play.
Overall it is, and you know it is.
Well, I don't know based on this.
Is it not a meritocracy?
I think it is.
Okay, thank
except
you. Thank
Wes
you.
Welker always played, and he played less this week. What's the reason?
Maybe they're seeing indications from Edelman that he's ready to make a move.
And he's better than Welker.
They don't know that. They have to find out.
I find that hard to believe. Quite frankly.
I do too.
Okay.
But maybe he can contribute something in some times of the game.
You think he's made jumps this offseason that have moved him up based on last year? Because last year, you didn't see this.
Right.
It was Welker.
Exactly. You didn't see
okay.
Edelman
so
at all.
You think Edelman has advanced?
I don't know. I think maybe they think he has. I don't know.
Okay. And has Welker declined or just Edelman advanced?
I think just Edelman has advanced.
Okay,
I saw that one coming.
Now, do you think
Welker will decline the day he leaves this team?
Do you think that they would have the same mentality if Welker was under contract for the next 3 years?
Yes.
I don't. That's where we differ.
Okay.
You wouldn't need to find out about what he could do, what Edelman could do, if you didn't have an opening coming up at that position. You were going to have an opening at that position next year.
You know,
that's why you need to find out what Julian Edelman can do.
Maybe.
That's why contracts play a role in playing time. It's not just a meritocracy. That's all Andy and I are trying to say.
Let's open this up to the email.
Sure.
Real quick.
Sure.
Real quick. Patriots sign safety. Oh, tough name.
Glad
tough
he gave
name
it to
here.
You.
Chill. C-Y-H-L. Quarrels.
Shill.
Shill.
Kyle.
Oh, we got Shill. It's probably Kyle.
You're
Kyle.
Right.
Although even that wouldn't.
I thought Fred was the one who did the shilling for this team.
Oh.
I don't know. And they released Alex Silvestro from the practice squad to make room.
Wait, there's no pronunciation on that?
Nope.
We'll just leave it up to your interpretation.
C-Y-H-L. For all I know, it's not spelled correctly.
No.
It does say they re-sign him. Do we ever have this guy on the team?
I've never seen that name before in my life.
No.
Is it a complete typo? What's the last name?
Quarles.
I don't remember that at all.
He was a rookie free agent with Baltimore, released on August 31st, so the last cut, from Wake Forest, 6'3", 212 pounds, had 239 tackles, two picks, six passes defense, two forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery at Wake Forest.
And you think that's Kyle?
Kyle. Yeah, I think it's Kyle. C-Y-H-L. I bet you it's Kyle. As crazy as that sounds.
Chill.
Oh, it's C-Y-H-L?
C-Y-H-L.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was C-H-Y-L. We've definitely not had him before. We would have talked about it. We would have had this very conversation.
No, I just read his bio. He came from Baltimore.
Oh, I thought you said it re-signed.
That's what it says in the headline.
Oh, okay.
Patriots re-sign.
Sorry.
Nick in New Haven, Connecticut writes in.
When I read the bio, I got to the bottom of we'd never had that guy.
Nick says, the reason Welker wasn't on the field as much was because the Patriots ran the ball. If you're running the ball, you don't want Wes out there blocking. You want tight ends. I believe last week the Patriots had more running plays than pass plays, which is something they never did last year. So Wes isn't a lesser option in the passing game. They just ran the ball more. And Wes isn't as valuable as a tight end when running. Well, okay. I don't know. Not sure.
Well, I would agree with that. If they're going to run the ball, the bigger guy who can block is more valuable. I'm all for that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, Brian says
they ran the ball a lot in Oakland last year, right? Did Welker play? I mean, if you want to compare, try to compare an apples to apples.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Game.
Yeah, and it also, it didn't. They ran the ball 35 times and they threw it 32 times. Is that a 35% difference from last year? Because that's where his play time dropped by like 35%.
But it's only one game.
I know that. But
what
that's
was his
all we're
lowest
talking
game
about.
Last year? Did you ask your boy Mike Reese that?
Well, Brian says last year against Kansas City, Brady only had 27 attempts and Welker had two catches. It wasn't a big problem then. Why is it now?
Because it was a blowout and they didn't play.
And I think we were talking a little bit more about playing time, too, than just flat-out production. The stepping point for this was he was, quote, benched after a drop, and then his overall playing time was also down 30-whatever percent.
Paul says, how many times and how many ways are you going to say the same thing? Really, all this time on one of four receivers after one game, this is why I switched to other stations. Don't insult the Patriots fans with this 10-minute fluff.
See ya.
Switch to the other station.
Yeah, I don't think it's fluff.
And by the way, good luck listening about Bobby Valentine and how the end of the Red Sox season is going to play out.
I don't think it's fluff. I think it's a legitimate issue. There's no doubt, you know, that it's a legitimate issue. You know?
Oh, I don't know that it's a legitimate issue.
Well, just to talk about and
it's a topic of discussion.
Yes,
doesn't mean it's a legitimate issue.
Oh, no. With them, with the team, I don't know if it is. But
no,
with us, I think it's a...
And by the way, it doesn't take the team for it to be a legitimate issue. It takes one guy wearing the number 83 jersey.
Sure.
It's how you feel. It doesn't matter how the team is intending it. If the player is affected, then it can become an issue.
And it's like we said at the top, you know, Wes could go out there and catch 10 passes. This is one game.
Sure.
We're making an evaluation off one game, and we're giving out hypotheticals. This is not a controversy that we're looking to start. We're just talking about...
We're just throwing a little more fuel on the fire.
We're talking about the different possibilities.
Joe in Michigan writes in, why is everyone freaking out about Welker's lack of production in the win against the Titans? People need to realize that he is necessary, even if he isn't showing up in the stat sheet. He blocks and requires attention from the defense, which allows other players to be open. If he wasn't out there, the Patriots' offense would falter just a little. Love to hear your guys' thoughts. Well, you've heard him.
Well, what we were discussing was him not being out there, not necessarily the lack of production.
Right.
I think that can happen, and maybe he's declining. Maybe he's not as good. Maybe he's not as whatever. But the lack of – that argument says he's out there as a decoy even. He's valuable as a decoy, as somebody they have to think about. If he's not on the field, he's not that.
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to find out more as the season goes, and the key will be, you know, who's out on the field in crunch time when it's third and long at the end of games, if it's close. That's going to be your key because maybe it could be – You know, and Bill has said, at least once a game, this guy gets blown up. You know, so if I don't have to use him every game, he's a veteran now, maybe, you know.
Sure.
You know, so I don't, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That was another thing that was thrown out there is that maybe, you know, he sort of tailed off last year. His production declined
toward the end
as the season went on.
Right.
After Paul gave him a $50 million extension.
Exactly. When I finally came around. But maybe they just want to try to keep him fresher. It could be something as innocent as that. Now, I would be surprised if it was 60-something, Mike Reese said, 60-something percent he played this week. I'd be surprised if it stayed down in that area all year, you know, on a consistent basis.
Me too.
I would be surprised if it wasn't, you know, closer to 80 than 60.
But if they legitimately do alter the offense, if they legitimately want to have eventually a fullback, if they eventually want to run the ball more, multi-tight end sets.
They had a lot of two
backs. That's going to be a
byproduct. I think the key will be against Baltimore. If Welker's not out there for most of the snaps. That tells you something, because Baltimore can stop the run.
Well,
you're not going to be able to do
it. He was out there for most of more than half the snaps.
But it was down from 80 to 60, right?
Right.
It was down to 90-something to 60-something.
Okay, so he was down significant.
But you're running the ball well.
But you're not going to do that. I doubt they're going to be able to do to Baltimore what they did to Tennessee. Right. They're going to have to throw the ball against Baltimore.
To me, that's where you're going to really notice it. In a game where they're not running overly well, and they are more spread, throwing the ball, and then Welker's limited. Okay, now you say, well, what's going on now?
Right, and if you have, you know, two back sets, and even though Lex Hillier just got here, he played a little bit the other day as the second back in two back sets. You want to have the two tight ends out there. Lloyd's an outside receiver, so he's probably, if they're going to only have one wide receiver on the field, he's probably going to be the guy.
Indeed.
So all of
your slot tight end is Hernandez.
You know, I don't want to go back into the fluff with the guy who turned us off, but all these things.
Well, he's gone, so you don't have to worry about
it. All
him
of these things are possibilities. That's why I think it's too simplistic after 1 week to just say, he's out.
Right. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire says, okay, this whole Welker thing's gone too far. Welker is by far a better receiver than Edelman, hands down. Anyone who thinks other needs to sell more of what he or she is smoking. Now, here is
here is
an interesting idea that Zoe, I guess he means Zolak, postulated this morning.
Who else goes by Zoe?
I don't know.
Zorad.
He saw Edelman's time on the field more because of situational ball than anything else. He believes Edelman is better at blocking than Welker, and that's why he was out for the extra snaps. What do you guys think?
He's a tougher, stronger, more physical player. I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. And it's funny because we had another guy say that you need Welker out there because he's a good blocker.
Right.
But I think
I think Welker tries.
Are you going to save any of that for me?
There was 8 more bottles in there.
And by the way, this had less than half.
Okay.
This is only the second.
Kevin, can
I've
we
had.
Get another Diet Coke out here, please?
Now taking orders.
Garcon.
Pierre.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.
I thought you were going to throw to a break after asking him to come in here with soda.
I did.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Let's get your thoughts. Not just on Welker, but on everything else after this break.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of Americard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard everybody knows it for.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime.
He's still paying.
I would have had to have been about 4 at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, back here in Patriots, what's the name of the show? PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. If you want to call in and weigh in, it's
you
called
can
Fred
do so. And Paul make mountains out of molehills, and Andy listens.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you're an ass.
Rich, that's better than what you called me yesterday.
Rich, that said, wasn't one of those arguments, just, you know, for the record.
Rich says, when the emailer says Welker was off the field, it's because we ran the ball more. Paul said, well, I don't know. I agree with Paul this time, Fred. I believe he has absolutely no idea.
Fred guy.
That's that green.
What?
Which guy?
That's Rich. That's Fred's friend.
Oh, he's an idiot. Just so you know, Fred is making fun of you now, Rich. The one ally you think you have.
Ixnay on the itch ray. Paul writes in, and where's Paul from? He says, okay, now that I heard my name, I will stay on and hopefully hear about other things, such as how the running game is going to help the D, the rookies, how did Tavon Wilson do, and McCourty. Like to get your opinions. How many catches did Gronk get? What?
6, right, I believe.
I'm not sure that Paul is listening to our show. Because he says the fan is talking about Tebow. I don't know what he must be writing in to another show.
They were talking about Tebow locally today, too, because that show is coming.
But the email just came in. So he's,
that's funny.
He's got to be listening to another show.
Some of our listeners are a little, you know, interesting.
Matt Brandon from California wants to know, how big of an impact does Matt Patricia have on the defense?
What do you mean?
What? How much of an imprint?
I'm staying completely out of this one because I don't want to get into the schemes, designs, the architects. I don't really.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is still Bill's team and Bill's defense. And we saw this summer Bill spend a lot of time with Patricia, with defense. So, I mean, literally almost seemed like every day they walked on and off the field chatting before and after practice.
Right.
And so that's Bill having an impact on Patricia, who is then enacting that. It's still Bill's defense, but I still think Patricia's a pretty good young coach who is calling your defenses. I think, you know, Bill has told us those guys call the defenses. It's all set up beforehand, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, third and three or less. Here's what we're going to call with this. You know, it's all game planned beforehand. But then Patricia, except for rare cases, or Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels call.
You're right.
Excuse me. Someone swallowed my tongue. Call the plays. And every once in a while, Bill says, I'll overrule. I'll say, you know, do this or do that. But for the most part, it's those guys orchestrating what has been set up as a group effort.
Right. Bill's.
But I like him. So if the defense is better this year, I'm going to say it's because Matt Patricia was given the title of coordinator because I like Matt. Right?
And
is that fair?
They drafted Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones.
No. It's because Matt Patricia is now the coordinator.
Brooklyn Matt writes, and Andy, earlier you enthusiastically described MMA as one of the greatest upcoming sports in the world. Easy now, Tiger. Settle down. Ever see the degenerates at one of those events? Tell you what, I have a proposition for you. I'll offer you 10 free sessions at Brooklyn Matt's Charm School to buff those rough edges. We'll make a gentleman out of you yet.
Wait a minute. I don't care about who goes to them. Popularity is not based on that. Popularity is based on they do pay-per-views and they make a lot of money and they fill all their arenas. You know, so while people tell me that lacrosse is booming or soccer is booming, what's booming is the empire that Dana White is building for UFC, right? I mean, that you're in business to make money.
It's in terms of growth.
I mean,
the percentage growth is higher there than
papers
else.
Now cover it. Websites now cover, you know, sports departments on websites now have MMA beat writers and guys that cover all these. It's an up-and-coming sport. I don't think anyone can really dispute that. I don't care whether the guy who's yelling has three teeth and a tattoo, as long as he paid his $50 to get in. Well, you do because you're an elitist.
Well, I just wouldn't want to go to an event like that.
Why?
Because, it's riffraff.
Wait, if you like the event, if you wanted to see the action, you wouldn't go because there was a guy next to you who was...
Yeah, the environment has something to do with the event I want to see. Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, it's not like they're letting brawls break out in the middle.
Oh, yes, they are.
No, they're not.
It's very uncouth.
You're uncouth.
Let's see. Grimsey's...
You're a snob. So you wouldn't go to a Raiders game.
Oh, that I would. That's a little different.
Wait, what now?
Yeah, it's not as bad as some of those MMA events.
I have not heard all. I mean, am I missing bad stuff that happens at MMA events? Are there is this a well-known thing that?
Yeah,
like,
Brooklyn Matt, fill us in.
Fights break out all the time. And
I went to one in May and it was fine out in Vegas.
Right. Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of these
Vegas, you know, because that's where a lot of them happen.
Well, so, you wouldn't go to one of those fights because of the uncouth, to use your word, nature of it.
Yeah,
because you have no interest in the fighting.
Well, no, he has interest. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago he said, quote, do they have a senior division? I think I want to join.
I have interest in it, and I want.
Yeah, see, I have no interest in the fighting.
Yeah. I do. It's cool.
It was pretty
cool. No, a lot of people do, but I wouldn't not go because I think it's beneath me. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, he's being a snob.
Yeah, the crowd is.
Do they not have Wi-Fi at all UFC events?
It's just.
Kevin liked that one.
You need to shower immediately after you leave.
Really? I mean, don't you need to do that when you go to a casino?
Now, in Vegas is different. No.
I think casinos smell. There's all these, I can't say it, but I don't.
What casinos are you going to?
Foxwoods, Morgan
Sun. Yeah. It's pretty unclean.
I know. The high price.
You got all these, 70-year-old women puffing and pulling.
A lot of them, you can't even smoke anymore.
But then you go into the main part of the casino with all, the restaurants and stuff, and there's people smoking everywhere.
Well, the casinos used to go to.
So go to the opera.
They're nice. They're nice casinos. Yeah,
I don't get on your high horse and go to the opera house.
I don't get the whole beneath you thing.
But the UFC thing in Vegas, the cheap tickets were $250.
Right.
And it was a pretty,
I don't think it's all that different than boxing. It's a similar crowd and event. There's a lot of celebrities.
You went to a big event.
Yeah, it was like UFC 146.
Right.
Like
some of these, you know, in like Toledo and things, you don't want to go. You don't want to go.
Now he's ripping areas of the country.
You don't want to
like,
go.
What are you talking about?
You would not be seen dead there.
According to you, I might be seen dead because it's like this terrible environment.
It's at least a 50-50 shot of dying.
Grimy Skiz from Miami, Florida.
Michael Parenti, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, he now works with a
boxing guy.
Well, they're also doing MMA now.
Which is very interesting considering his thoughts on MMA.
Right. But they actually have a big pay-per-view coming up in Providence where Batista, do you guys remember that name? He was a WWE champion for like a long time. Big roided out, veiny guy, like massive.
I remember.
Is going to UFC and he's debuting in Providence on a pay-per-view that Michael Parenti's production company or whatever is doing.
Is that the CES, right?
CES, yeah. What is that?
I forget what it stands for.
Entertainment.
Exposition something? Something? No.
I think it's entertainment and sports.
Yeah.
I think it's entertainment and sports.
I forget what the C is. Oh.
Probably the important one.
Right.
Like the name.
Entertainment.
But I think all three of you, if like you went to Vegas to see whether it was a boxing or MMA fight, I think you'd like it.
Oh, I do.
Oh, in Vegas, yeah.
I didn't think I would like it at first.
Not in Toledo, though.
No, right. But I'm with Paul. True. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't go to the Dunkin' Donuts Center and watch that?
I wouldn't go to the Dunkin' Donuts Center and watch it, I don't think.
Why?
I don't know. Because
I don't really have any interest in it.
No. Aside from that, I'm kind of talking to Fred here, who would do it in one locale, but not the other.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
You wouldn't go to the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
Probably not.
But
probably.
Vegas, you'd go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you were in Vegas and someone was like, here are tickets to see this fight, it would be a cool
experience.
I would go.
I wouldn't say, yeah, I would.
I would, if Parenti gave me tickets to Providence, I'd go.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
You would never leave your
Parenti,
house.
If you're listening, I would go.
When you leave work here, you go on your property. You don't walk off it until it's time to go to work the next day, and you know it.
That's a little true.
You are the most antisocial person in the world.
But, he really is.
I am, but that's everybody and everything. You are making a line of delineation. Toledo, I wouldn't go.
Right.
Vegas, I would.
That's true.
I wouldn't rub elbows with this guy because he has 7 teeth, but this guy has 15 or 30. I'll rub elbows. You're being a snob. I hate all this.
I would go to Daytona or Indianapolis to see a car race, but
I wouldn't go to Loudon.
No, Loudon I would. But I wouldn't go to like small podunk place to go see a car race.
There are no podunk NASCAR races.
What about the
track? All at big
the
tracks.
The smaller series, you know, whatever. A car race, I said.
Well, I probably wouldn't go to the smaller series. I want to see the best. If I go to UFC, you know, mixed martial arts,
right.
I want to see a UFC pay-per-view. I want to see the best.
Yeah.
Just like in baseball, I want to see major leagues. In soccer, I want to see Europe, not America. And everything else, I want to see the best.
Sure.
But it has nothing to do with the person who might sit next to me who paid the exact same amount for his seat.
I think it does.
Because he wears a tank top instead of a suit like he'll be wearing.
I think it does. I just don't want to.
You turn into Eric.
I'm too old for that.
Yeah, that's the last 10 minutes you've been very Eric-like. And it's
I don't like snobbery.
It's a little unsettling.
To have beer spilled all over me and everything.
So a beer couldn't get spilled on you
in Vegas. It happened to me at the Super Bowl.
And I would get into a fight.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
No, you wouldn't. Because you'd be afraid of the guy with 2 teeth because you think he's packing heat.
Why this show is the greatest show ever. We spend 20 minutes talking about something that's really, you know, somewhat serious with Wes Welker and the Patriots, and all of a sudden we're talking about whether or not Fred would go to see UFC in Toledo versus Las Vegas.
I just like Toledo. Like, I was thinking Brockton, like a local place that's kind of shady, Everett. But he goes,
hey,
Toledo.
Well, Everett. Yeah, I don't go there for anything.
Some Everett guy donated
forget about MMA.
Millions of dollars to Northeastern today. It was like,
who'd
really
he steal
strange.
It from?
What?
There was like some big story in the front page of the Globe today about 2 donors for Northeastern. You know, like
it
you know,
wasn't get, you.
Like, it was a guy.
No, they have money.
It's like $60 million.
Oh,
and
wow.
One of the guys was from Everett.
It's called mob money.
It's called laundering money.
Yes. Last name did end in a vowel.
Grimy Skiz in Miami says a lot of people are up in arms that the Patriots are number 1 in power rankings, followed by the 49ers, Ravens, Texans, and Packers. How do you guys feel about that?
No problem with that.
I haven't looked at any
who's,
power
who's up
yet.
In arms?
People.
But who?
You just said a lot of people.
Oh, okay. No, I was. No, that's all.
I'm assuming fans of those teams.
I know that, you know, you guys were right to look at me skeptically. Usually I have an ulterior, but no, I was legitimately, I didn't know who you'd
I said. Have no problem with it. I mean, based on week 1, I think the Niners have a good argument. They went to Green Bay and beat a top 5 team in their home. So I think they would have
and the way they beat them too.
There's
the Patriots ESPN right there.
Just as we
speak. Yeah. Patriots Niners. Yeah, see now the Niners were 4 last week
and they beat the number 1 team. Cuz it says the Packers are number 1.
So I would have no problems if you said the Niners were one, but I also have no problem with the Patriots being one. I don't think there's any reason to be up in arms about that. They had a good, solid, workmanlike win on the road, and everybody thought they were good, and they're good.
But in terms of quality win, the Niners had the more quality victory.
And as you know,
we don't know if that was a quality win.
As we all
yet.
Know, true. You can't judge the quality of a win until
the
end
Titans
of
could
so
go 15-1.
Are going to stink.
The Titans could go 15-1. The Packers could go 8-8. Then who had the more quality win, Andy?
The Niners.
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
If the Titans go 15-1,
the better team on Sunday was the Packers.
I never want to hear you tell me that I'm more stubborn than you ever again.
The better team on Sunday was the Packers, with a better quarterback and better talent.
You don't know that?
Yes, I do. The season may unfold any way it
Fred,
can.
I'm pretty sure we know that.
Oh boy! All right. Let's see.
That's amazing. They're talking about it right now. Do you have a problem with it?
They copy us.
Great
like
email.
Else.
Great email, buddy.
Christian, and this isn't the same Christian. This is another one from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Appleton.
Says
where we
stay. We've been there. Jalapeno
cheese curds.
Poppers. Yeah, that's what those things.
Yeah.
He says he lives 45 minutes south of Lambeau Field, and it can be tough to stay on top of my Patriots news and views. So thanks for your podcast. I appreciate that, but in today's world, is it tough to really
stop? Keep the myth alive.
Okay, all right.
We don't want people going anywhere else.
I think that you can get like the basic stuff online, but if you want to get a show that you can listen to people talk about some of the issues.
In actual discussion. Like people may hate the topic, but you will not get a discussion about a topic like that anywhere else.
That's right.
And, because
you're
Felger.
You're talking about MMA, right?
Yes.
Everything.
But like Felger won't allow that type of discussion because he'll say
have
something.
The time. Every 10 minutes, they have to take a break.
No, actually, they have 4 hours, but he'll say something and that becomes fact and you're not allowed to dispute it and he'll just keep hammering it home. There's never a back and forth.
Now the only thing Andy nails it on the head. The only that particular thing with Welker, Felger would be all over because that's controversy. It's a conspiracy. He loves those.
Right.
He also loves anti-establishment kind of thinking.
But he wouldn't pose the seven different ways you could look at it like we did.
He would only pose the one way
that he looks at
it. This would be definitively.
It's management screwing a player.
That would be the verdict. Bang. No other way to look at it. No question. This is what they do. They have to make sure they win every negotiation. They have to make it hard for every player.
That's why you need to be on that show, Paul.
I'm going in about an hour.
You need to set them straight.
With my new riches, I'm going in about an hour.
Oh, now we can talk about it?
Paul got a raise.
From below poverty to poverty.
Anyway, Christian says, couple of things I noted. Though it was called back by a holding penalty, I thought Locker's 20-yard draw play scramble was a thing of beauty. A called play, everyone went to the outside, and it looked like the Red Sea parting. Titans have a future, I believe, and we may see them in the playoffs. Funny how in their loss, I haven't heard anyone in the nonpartisan media mention that play. Now, do you think that was a set play?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I agree. Everything what he said at the beginning, I don't think as much of Tennessee in general as he does, but I think Jake Locker is going to be pretty good.
Andy, I do, too.
Andy almost like fell off his chair when he made that play when he was about to make fun of him. And he said he made fun of himself yesterday when he was scrambling. Oh, you got to get rid of it. Oh, you got rid of it.
Get rid of it for a touchdown.
I mean,
a big, strong.
There are not a lot of guys in the league that could make that
play. Now, what was the injury? I haven't.
Separated shoulder, non-throwing.
Oh.
He's playing.
Yeah, it's non-throwing.
He's playing this week, according to Jim Wyatt, our buddy, who was our guest on the pregame social.
The 6 minutes he could carve out of his schedule.
Second thing is I can't find any data regarding the Patriots' effectiveness in the running game in between the tackles. Lots of the runs were to the outside, especially to the left with Solder and Makins. But Ridley and company seem completely stuffed when trying to hit the line. I don't think
they did get the majority of the yards outside, but who cares?
Yeah. But I saw a couple up the middle.
They had a few up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they looked like, we'll get back to game plan stuff. It looked like that's what they wanted to do. And by the way, Tennessee, we talked a lot about this going into the season, how defenses would react. According to Greg's data that he did in that Globe piece today, Tennessee stayed in their sub-defense all but two plays until the game was out of reach at the end of the game. And they're just running Bolden in the middle of the line. I'm sure they had base defense in those situations. So they chose to say, go ahead and run. Well, doesn't it make sense if you have a sub-defense out there, it's a light front, you can get to the perimeter? I would think that makes a lot of sense.
He says, because of that and because of the hurried hits Brady's had, though there were few, I'm still not sold on Solder. He has a lot to learn and doesn't have a lot of time in which to do it. Anyway, thanks for the bye and try weekly cast. And tell Andy to stop snickering at the bye comment. So,
well, Eric will be bye later. Why, is this that person bye? I've never known anyone maybe who is openly bye. Have you?
I guess it's this email.
I don't think so.
That'd be kind of cool.
Jeff,
I mean, well,
idiots on the radio.
Can we get back to this?
Says you guys have no clue about anything that has to do with UFC and MMA. You think
that's true?
You think people with three teeth who fight in the stands of the crowd, let alone afford tickets that start $300 and
that's
up?
That's what I said.
You need to get your sport knowledge up. Not like it's a big part of your job. Think of it as career change, fellas. Don't speak on things you don't know.
I agree. Who's this? Well,
Jeff,
I don't care for your tone, but I agree.
Only one of us spoke on something we didn't know, and that was Fred. I knew they were expensive because I've actually wanted to attend one and never have said, well, I can't pay that much.
Kevin said that he went in Vegas and the cheap tickets were over $200.
Oh, they go to like $1,500, $2,000 for like these decent. It's not for poor people.
Yeah, I don't speak on MMA. I don't know about it.
In Toledo what the ticket prices are.
Right, exactly.
Can we get back to that? Never mind.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
No.
I was joking.
Football?
No.
No, the bisexual thing.
Oh.
I just wondered, do you consider someone who maybe like when they're younger, they don't really know yet? And
no.
Sort of, you know.
No, not dabbling in
college. Because I know, like I do know.
No. I want somebody who openly goes out on a Saturday night and doesn't know whether they're coming home with a man or a woman.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know that.
I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, not for me, per se.
But you think it's cool.
Do you have any, like, really close friends that are gay that you know of?
Yeah, I went to a wedding. Where the lesbian
Fred,
is
probably
now a man.
Fred, you probably right? You're a real tree hugger, so you
do
probably
you?
Have
you
a
have
lot.
Close friends who are gay?
Well, I
Eric
used
doesn't
to.
Count, you know.
Yeah, people, I don't get in touch with them
Hope
as much
and change
anymore.
Is big
oh,
for you.
Oh, that's nice. You found out they were gay and you lost contact with them. That's interesting.
You change your email address.
Your paths in life go in different directions.
That's sad.
You stay in touch with everybody you know over your life?
Well, I don't stop
Again,
staying in touch with
you go
them.
To your house, you close the door, and you don't come out until it's time to go to work the next day. And you know that's the fact.
You
he
and
gave,
I, so
don't talk to me about keeping in touch with people. You
he
and
gave
I
it under Steve DiOssi voice, too. You and I are not that different, though. You just take your pants off, I leave mine on.
Okay.
You do the exact same thing
I'll
at your
give you
house.
That. I'll give you that.
I didn't want to get alpacas to keep me company.
I mean, I don't have land like you two, but I tend to stay to myself, too.
Dan of Virginia, first game was great. Looking forward to the season. Love the Jones Hightower TD. Have a few questions. Two serious, one not so much. That would make sense for this show. Why haven't the Patriots claimed Bobby Carpenter for their practice squad? Well, he's not eligible.
Yeah.
Never good when Fred easily
when Fred
has
can
the
he answer the logistical questions? Yes.
Right. Guys, you know, just so you know, after you've played a certain amount of time, you're not eligible anymore for practice.
And
squad.
He is now like a 6-year veteran, 7-year veteran who's played in 100 games.
I think it's like 5 games and you're not eligible, right?
Well, it's 6, but unless you weren't
actually
on
play,
the 9.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's some confusing rules, but it's young players. Young, inexperienced players, he is not.
Right. The other thing he says, were the Jets stupid like a fox, to quote a great philosopher, Homer Simpson, in the offseason? While I enjoy watching them self-implode, I wondered at times, can anyone really be that bad? While I'm not convinced they aren't a circus, all they did was beat Buffalo after all. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on the status of the Jets. Are they the insane clown posse Pagliacci or just plain bozos? Finally, on a related note, how much does the rest of the AFC East pay to keep Santonio Sabator Holmes on the Jets roster?
Why, what do you do now?
Well, he's always saying stuff.
Well, I know he didn't do much in the opener.
He said something about Sanchez about being rattled, that he was rattled.
In the opener?
No, this was before that.
Oh, yeah, you know, I knew.
Well, he was upset about the Tebow trade, he said.
Yeah, it rattled him. Yeah.
Obviously, he is being tongue-in-cheek in terms of them doing it on purpose in the preseason. I don't think they were as bad offensively in the preseason as the numbers show.
Well, one of the things in that Buffalo game is that it was really the Jets' defense that set up the Jets' offense, like at midfield, almost every drive.
Was that early though? Because it looked like they had some drives early in the game that they went down and
maybe,
scored on.
Maybe early, but the Bills' offense sucked.
Yes,
it was
except
terrible.
For CJ
Spiller. Well, Fitzgerald, Fitzpatrick. Sorry about that. They're all the same to me. Those Irish guys. He was really
those Irish guy.
He was really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
In that game. You can't three picks like that. You can't overcome.
I like how he spread it with all their corners.
And you know,
Wilson, Revis, Cromartie.
Right. Did you see the one to Cromartie for the touchdown?
No.
He threw it directly to him. I was like, I mean, it's probably one of those not on the same page kind of thing, but really.
I'm sure the Jets defense is going to be good this year. I mean, you know, they
see that's one of those things too.
Rex Ryan.
I was talking to Andy, like, you know, like. I get a little frustrated, and you always get mad at me with the whole, it's all about points. It's all, they gave up 28 points.
Right.
No, we can all agree that was probably a pretty good defensive game for them.
Right.
So it's not always just about points.
No, it's not. Hey, guys, and Eric says, Jeremiah, I want to say I love the show, and I was just as excited to get 3 days a week of PFW as I was for the season to start. So there you go.
It's sad for you.
Couple of things. What do you guys think of Hernandez taking a bow after his first touchdown of the season instead of making it rain?
I wanted to ask him today, but he blew me off for my PFW TV interview.
So that was a Deion Branch shout-out, you think?
Oh, I hadn't really thought of that.
You know? A little shout-out to Deion Branch, because that's what Branch used to do,
he
right?
said afterwards it wasn't worthy of making it rain.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask him about it today, but he didn't show up.
All right.
You know what? That might be a better part to follow up.
Oh yeah,
with the question, because I didn't think of that at all. That's interesting.
If he ever shows up for one of our interviews,
yeah, one of these weeks, because I was supposed to get him first week. Andy's supposed to get him today. One of these weeks, he'll remember.
But he, I mean, it could also be like a
this could be coincidence.
Well, coincidence, but it could also be, I mean, make it rain isn't really all that classy at its heart. And he's going to have a child. Maybe, you know, all that emotion then when the contract extension.
You know, maybe that's a good point, too, is now I'm considered a leader here. Yeah. I've got this. And, you know, now I need to be a little bit more
respectable and mature.
Yeah. Yeah, I
now, we could
it.
Be overthinking.
I liked it when he opened the safe.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, that was great.
He found a new way, you know, dig the hole to get the money.
Right,
and then,
right. I loved it.
I loved it, too.
I generally like all of those things.
Yeah.
Unless they're, like, really stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like the Stevie Johnson thing with his leg that he got the penalty for.
I liked it.
You know, I think, but, well.
Do a stupid thing, you get deserve to be mocked.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the Jets being up in arms about that was stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you have a guy, as you said, you do something stupid, you deserve to get mocked for it.
Jeremiah also has some listener-on-listener crime. He says, for the love of Darth Vader, please stop taking calls from Tyrone in Delaware. Oh. All he does is cry about how the Ravens are built compared to the Pats and never realizes that what we have and they don't. Pete Shepard used to entertain this guy on his show. In all honesty, Tyrone is the only thing that ever made me fast-forward your podcast. Quit your crying and root for your team or move on, Tyrone.
B-Lo was the only thing that made people fast forward.
Last season, the Denver game, I was able to bask in the warm glow of higher intelligence and everlasting glory as I got to meet our fearless leader, Fred and Eric. Thank you for taking the time to take a photo with me at the Pikes Peak Pats tailgate.
Could never say that.
And good news, my sister, who was in her late 20s, said, Eric isn't bad looking. There's hope, my friend.
Is your sister good looking?
Oh, see, now the day that Eric decides to take off, well, that's every day. No, he's here, right?
He's going to be by later.
Yeah, we'll have to tell him about this.
He's not interested. She's in her late 20s.
Oh, right. That's true. She's too old. Yeah.
And she's probably not perfect looking, and that's all he cares about.
My prediction
Very
for the
shallow.
Season, Patriots
Very shallow
win
for a guy who's theoretically so cerebral.
Pseudo-intellect.
Yeah. Patriots prediction, they win the Super Bowl, and Eric gets some action this season in London.
No chance.
F the Jets and Kevin for ruining Ted. People are never going to forgive him for that.
Nor should they.
Have you seen? That's not haven't been out yet, huh?
No.
I haven't seen it either. Joe in Michigan, again, I saw earlier today the Patriots had cornerback Chris Carr in for a visit. Is this more of an emergency list visit, or could he help the secondary? He's only 29, so if he is any good still, I don't see why they wouldn't sign him. Well, you got to cut somebody if you're going to sign him, right?
That would be generally the way it works, Fred. Yes,
but they worked out like eight guys.
You know, they are bringing in not just Chris Carr. They bring in guys in a steady stream just
every
to
week.
See who's out there.
Especially early in the season, you do a lot of that.
Right? Why guys were cut? Well, you know, are they healthy? What's their status?
Right.
Curtis Painter.
Chris Carr. That's not a bad name though to be out of work at this time of year. He's been a pretty regular player.
What's his story?
I don't know. But speaks to what you just said. You know, finding out why guys are. where they are, what their injury status is. Who knows?
A little more listener on listener crime. Louie in Chicago says, just want to say that guy was an idiot, the guy tuning you guys for EEI. I'd rather listen to three shows of you guys talking about Welker than Patriots, that horrible station. Okay. About the Cards, what do you guys think of the O-line matchup versus Campbell, Dockett, and Acho? They're not elite, but they're pretty good.
Dockett, I would consider elite.
And specifically, Campbell and Dockett for like 3-4 ends are considered elite. They are special guys that play in that scheme. Now, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think that I think the Patriots are going to overwhelm this team on Sunday. But defensively, you know, you asked how they won 8 out of their last 10. They just a light switch went on about halfway through the season last year, and literally they held. I think I had all the numbers in the preview, but they were below 20 points in like 8 out of those 10 games that they've won. And they get little to no help from the offense.
Mm.
So defensively.
Well, I love it when you do the. Mm.
Well, so, defensively, I mean, they had Skelton. I mean, this guy, Red Skelton, was the quarterback.
Yeah, and they have no running game and no offensive line. It's really not. The quarterback's not even the biggest problem. It's like third on the list.
Yeah.
And they don't have a quarterback.
But I think Dockett is borderline.
I think Dockett's a pretty good player.
He is a I don't think I'd fear to, like, if they said, Andy, you have to put pads on and somebody's going to hit you. You have to line up across from him. He's a guy I would not want to line up. I think he's violent. I think he has like a mean streak. You know, the Vince Wilfork kind of pushes that envelope. He is a guy that I would fear, and if I'm Tom Brady, I definitely fear him.
And he didn't mention, but the better of the outside linebackers, Acho is okay, but the better one is Darrell Washington, who's a guy I frankly didn't know a whole lot about until I started doing some research for the preview. And he's a pretty special player, evidently. And they have the makings of a good. They have they have Patrick Peterson in the secondary, who right now is evidently starting to draw some comparisons to Revis the way he plays. I don't know if he's that good.
I mean,
we'll
now,
see.
Is it? You know, does it make sense that Wisenhunt, coming from the Steelers, would say, I got to build my defense? You know, and he's been there for, what, 5 years
Oh,
now?
He's been there for a while, and they had a great offense when they had Kurt Warner, obviously.
Yeah, right. So.
But they have, I think what Paul's trying to say is they have playmakers on defense.
They have
guys
some
at all three levels.
Well, that's good. I want to see a challenge.
People are saying that Wilson is not as good in coverage now, but he's still a big physical safety who is a career playmaker. Paris Lennon, our old friend, had a couple sacks.
He's played well. And, you know, if the Patriots went out and just took the opening kick, bang, 80 yards, and then got, bang, 80 yards, that would be impressive because this is a pretty good defense. I expect the Patriots to get 30 points by wearing Arizona down. So if they just come out and blow doors off right off the go, I wouldn't just chalk that up to a bad team. This is a pretty good defense.
Okay.
And that's, you know, everything I read this summer about them indicated that, but they just get no help.
And this will be a tough game for them because they're going to assume that Patriots are going to score points, which puts all that pressure on an offense that just can't.
Especially a quarterback who just can't, who doesn't like pressure, mental or physical.
Hamza, I've read more unflattering things about him dealing with pressure, Kevin Cobb being him.
That's a terrible trade. That's going to go down as one of the worst.
Than I've read about anybody. It seemed like every guy had a different way of saying how this guy is basically afraid.
So did the Eagles just kind of luck out?
No, they did a great job cultivating not only his talents, but the perception of him, I think. We said it at the time. I don't think anybody here, I thought we all thought that was a terrible trade, that they gave up too much for a Jag. But, yeah, I mean, that's the whole idea behind that quarterback thing. There's a fine line between a guy has to have some reps, game field, playing time, and not enough so that the warts start to show. There's a pretty precarious line there.
Let's see.
I had a dream about Brian Hoyer, I think, last night.
Jesus. Wow.
But
was it one of your soggy ones?
No. Oh. Unfortunately, I no longer have those. I turned to you and I have like work-related dreams. But did you see the Patrick Chung thing on Comcast last night? They like basically taped Patrick Chung's football camp somewhere in New England and made it into a one-hour Comcast television show. It was not very good. I'll say that right out of the gates. But Brian Hoyer was in that. He was one of the instructors and counselors at that camp. Yeah, it was bad TV.
Hamza in Toronto says, for God's sake, stop with this Welker stuff. Yes, it's possible he's being phased out. Yes, it's possible he isn't. But people, it's 1 week. I read that he was targeted 5 times and Gronk 6. Does that mean Gronk is being phased out?
Yep.
And Nick in wherever, he's going to get traded, really? You do realize we only have 5 receivers on the team, and 2 of them are Matthew Slater and some guy from the Rams who Tom Brady probably can't pick out of a crowd. I look at it this way. Remember Randy Moss in 2007, 23 touchdowns, right? Remember the game against the Jaguars in the playoffs? Brady goes 26 of 28 and sets a playoff completion percentage record. Randy Moss made 1 catch that day, 1 catch for 14 yards. Yes, the same yardage as Welker on Sunday. Was Moss irrelevant, being phased out? Well, he led the team in TDs the next year and led the league in TDs the year after. So, no, he wasn't being phased out. It was one game in the Jaguars' heavy zone coverage deep dictated that Brady's throw short. Moss allowed other players to be open underneath, and most importantly, it was one game. We played a lot of heavy tight end formations on Sunday, and that is formations with 1 or 2 wideouts and therefore no slot position on the field at all. I suspect that there will be games where we'll see more shotgun/empty set formations, and that's where Welker will get his catches. In short, I'm not saying this isn't the beginning of a change. I'm not saying there is no way to tell based on the fact that he was targeted 5 times in one game instead of the usual 8. Phew. One last thing, and that was his view, not mine.
I actually like this email. I think there's a lot of
validity. Well, you're going to like it even better now, Paul. One last thing. I think I'm officially turning into Paul. After 6 years of listening to you guys, I find that I now agree with Paul on almost everything, as opposed to with Fred when I first started listening. This does scare me a little.
Sure.
And then the other day, I was shocked to find a bottle of Diet Pepsi in my hand that I had no memory of buying. I expect a throwdown with a middle-aged woman any day now. Scary. Just kidding, Paul. Keep telling it like it is.
So. Well, I think he brings up a lot of different things that we were talking about, all three of us, about the Welker thing, and I don't think it's a simple answer.
Right.
You know, the whole thing about the heavier packages with, you know, the tight ends, 2 backs and stuff. I think there's a lot of different factors that are involved. And if you look at it strictly from a number standpoint, he makes a good point about the 5 targets to 6.
Right. One of Gronkowski's was a touchdown, so it seems like it, you know.
Well, no, I'm saying he dropped a pass. And I think even if he had caught the pass that bounced off his face, I think you'd look at it totally differently.
Right, that's true.
Because that would have been about a 20-yard pass for a first down.
You're absolutely right. Yep. It just shows you how one play can make such a difference in perception and sometimes the game. Ramon in Dallas says, great show. To piggyback on the defensive question earlier, I know it's one game, but I keep hearing how nasty the defense played. Is it that Bill just got the personnel he needed and now he has the defense he wanted? Or should I credit Patricia from being able to put his imprint on the defense?
Yes.
Even though we know that it's Bill's team and he prepares the plan and the coordinators execute it, which one best explains the change in defense? I think it's a combination
Well, what change? Are we just talking about
nasty
the attitude?
Swagger.
I think part of that is the players.
Yeah, I think so too.
Spikes.
I think Mayo.
Hightower.
I think Mayo has a little bit more swagger than he has in the past, and I think
I agree.
He's the leader.
I think he's getting it from the
he's
young,
the leader,
young player,
but I
young,
think he is
playmakers.
Getting an injection of it from the young
okay.
guys that has
that
brought something
true.
Out of him.
I'll buy that.
Andy and I
talked
like the first or second week.
Might
of
actually
training
read that
camp.
In PFW next week if I get the interview. I hope to get tomorrow.
Yeah, he's hoping to talk to Gerard and you know, maybe that can come to fruition. Unlike the Hernandez interview,
but
that
even
we've been
in camp,
on.
From back in camp, we saw
yes.
a little
like
bit
the
more,
second week. Andy and I talked a lot, and I wrote a, admittedly over the top commentary about Hightower and how I thought. It was sort
over
of infectious.
Top.
Yeah. I mean,
Good
I.
Lord.
But I think that we're seeing some of it. And Andy, you talked about it too. Don't just make fun of me.
No, I'm just making fun of the story you wrote.
No, I know. I admit it. I laid it over the top. And I even wrote as much when I, you know, I said, listen, I'm basing this all on practice, and that's dangerous to do. I see that, though, coming on the field. I see it's affecting the way they play. I'm not sure that they're going to be a great defense. I'm not sold on that yet.
I'm pretty sure they won't be great. I don't think you can go from terrible to great in 1 year with just the way they did it. But I think you can be very good or competitive or make plays.
Yeah, and everybody looks at Houston and says that. But I think that they had a whole different – clearly they were poorly coached before Wade Phillips got there.
They
too.
Changed schemes, changed coordinators, and brought in a number one cornerback.
A veteran corner.
The Patriots didn't do any of those things. They didn't change – well, you could say they're now a factual all-the-time 4-3, but it's the same system in place, the same coaching in place, and their number one corner is the same. And we've talked about the value of a number one corner on a defense. how much better you can be if you have one. They got one that allowed them to do more things they wanted to do.
But I do like the infectious attitude that the younger guys seem to have been, you know.
Spikes, Chung,
Spikes,
Hightower.
Hightower, Jones, you know. These guys
an
are
energy. Kyle Love, your boy.
They're playmakers.
Your boy likes to celebrate.
Yeah, but I think it's there's an edge to it that I don't, you know, I guess it goes hand in hand. When you can't stop anybody, it's hard to play with an edge. And they're stopping people now.
Kalen is writing in from Australia. He says, first, who do you think will have a breakout season, and who do you think will have a game today? Well, it came in today, so.
Is this another one of those?
I don't know how it works in Australia. I just thought it was.
Is it Thursday already?
Yeah.
Because there is a Thursday night game, so.
Oh, that's true. But, okay.
In Australia.
Let's go to the second question.
Breakout
season?
I hope this doesn't say who's going to have a breakout season.
A breakout season.
Stephen Ridley.
All right. Second, I hope this doesn't happen, but if Vollmer gets injured again, would you rather Solder at right tackle instead of Cannon, move Mankins to left tackle, and have Thomas Wendell and Connolly and Cannon in the interior? No, I don't think you move Mankin to right tackle. I mean, left tackle, right?
Well, that's what they did last year, but no
they,
one. Well,
they had no one else, though, right? Everybody was hurt that game?
Well, but no, their decision, I mean, basically they would have, if Vollmer's out, your choice would be Cannon and Solder, or he's saying Mankins and Solder, right?
Mankins and Solder, right.
I mean, they had that option last year.
I thought that was the game Solder was hurt, no?
Yeah, there was a lot. There was like that was necessity. I think that was
Solder was concussed at the time.
You might be right.
Yeah,
that might be.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think that was.
I thought Solder was on the other side for Vollmer, but you might be right. Yeah. I thought they chose not to move Solder to left tackle. But you might be right.
I thought that
maybe Solder was out and Cannon played right tackle and Mankins played left tackle. I agree with Fred. I wouldn't put Mankins at left tackle.
Well, plus now you're moving like everybody.
Yeah, that's,
nobody.
But
in
that's
their
why
position
not
you
because
want
I
to play.
Not because I don't think Mankins could play. Because as Bill said in training camp, he could play all five.
That said, Donald Thomas is a guy that's really growing on me more so than just the look, Paul. You know I like his look because he is a big dude.
Because he could be a bouncer.
He's muscular. He's a muscular looking 300-pounder. But I've seen him kind of like helping guys out, talking to some of the younger guys, and I think he's a guy to keep an eye on for maybe increased playing time at some point.
Okay. Sean says, I love Chandler Jones since before the draft. Love that the Patriots got him.
Sure you did.
Talking long term, what kind of numbers can we expect from him? JPP status, as some are saying. He looked great this past weekend against Tennessee.
I mean, it's hard to project 20-plus sacks from a guy or whatever, but every time we've seen
he's on the way to 16.
No, well, yeah, but no, more importantly, every time we've seen him, he's had an impact. He's looked impressive from the first camps we saw him in to the preseason games to now his regular season debut. That's a good sign, in my opinion, when a guy shows the ability to make an impact right away. You know, this week, Paul's predicting what? Domination over Juan Bautista or whatever the name's guy.
D'Anthony.
So, I mean, the sky's the limit. As Bill says, at his angle right now is very impressive. Where it stops, who knows? But it's very impressive so far.
Peter in Medway writes in, good afternoon, gents and Paul. I started off by admitting that I missed the first Dunkin' Donuts pregame social of the season and the first regular season curse words because I was helping out at a local event while the game was on live. I had to DVR everything and watch it later. The plus is that in the process, I ended up with a good Nut Wizard story. The event I was at was a big pistol shooting competition in Harvard, Mass. One of my duties was cleaning up the used casing between groups of shooters. One of the other guys that was helping out goes to his car and pulls out, what? A Nut Wizard. He brought it under the name Brass Wizard, but it's the same thing. So when he came out over with it, I said, wow, I've never seen one of these things in person, but the editor of Patriots Football Weekly has one that he uses on his nuts, and he seems to enjoy it. Then I look around, and everyone is just kind of staring at me. Great. Took a few minutes to explain that one, but I got the chance to try it out, and it worked well. Just don't let your nuts get driven into the ground, because it won't work well if that happens, and they probably won't either.
Oh, that's great.
Really, so he used it to pick up the casings?
The casings, the shotgun shells, yeah, I guess. Or
pistol.
Pistol shells.
It's a brass wizard. It's a little bit different.
Now to Paul's favorite subject.
Cool, though.
Paul's favorite subject, the run game. I still maintain that if the Patriots had a competent run game the past 4 to 5 seasons, yes, even during the Moss years, there would be more championship banners hanging in the razor. with backs that can only manage 3 yards in a cloud of dust. There's nothing to keep the other team's D from coming hard every play. You know, giggling, Andy? He thought you would giggle at that. Contrary to,
I was thinking about it, but I thought you were kind of like revved up and I didn't want
to
break.
Contrary to popular opinion, if Ridley and Vereen can stay healthy and productive for the entire season, then they will be the key to unlocking postseason success, more so than the outside presence of Lloyd. I know it's not as flashy or exciting as the 50-yard bomb downfield, but that's how I see things from my couch. See, I kind of side with Paul here. I mean, how many more points would they have scored if they were more balanced?
Yeah, it kind of gets to that thing we talked about yesterday. Would you rather have fewer points but maybe a more productive offense?
Yeah, but it's not just...
And it helps every... No, because it helps everything else.
But, I mean, you know, Fred is kind of minimizing it. I mean, the two Super Bowls they lost were against a pass rush that they could do nothing against.
True.
So if you could run at those guys or keep them out of their little NASCAR front, because Stephen Ridley, every time you go NASCAR, is popping off 7, 9, 12-yard runs, you're altering the way the game is played. And the positive impact of that is unknown.
Right.
Is
yeah,
how the game plays out.
Right, right.
So... Certainly, but, you know, some of those years, like, you know, 2007, Maroney was pretty good down the stretch.
He was great down the stretch.
Now,
didn't do anything in the Super Bowl.
There's
but
a part of me
that
wonders
that
about that. If you can do that, if you can change your who you are, your base, your whatever, that late in the year, even if it works, even if you say, it's December, we're going to start running the ball, well, does that really work? Does it really change who you are? Does it make you truly as good right. as you can be in that aspect? Or do you need to do it along the way, like maybe they're going to try to do this year?
Yeah, but, you know, and I think it's if you looked at those games, the Super Bowls themselves, and you said in those games, if they could have run the ball a little bit better, they win. I mean, mm-hmm. you'd have a hard time arguing, no, of course they would. But I don't think you can just say everything else is the same. Like you said, you can't just, like, flip the switch and say you're right. a running team now late in the year. If they run the ball the way they did on Sunday, and they decide to run the ball more often than they pass it. You know, this is our changing offense. You know, we keep saying it's 1 week. We don't know what they're going to be. Well, let's say for 16 weeks they do that. Your passing production is going to drop
mm-hmm.
from what it's been the last few years. Right?
Right.
I mean, they threw for 230 yards instead of 330 yards
right.
on Sunday. Now, it was remarkably efficient. Brady was 117-something.
Yep.
No one has any argument with the offense on Sunday. But
except Wes Welker.
You're a little different. So, yeah, you might be able to run the ball more effectively when you get to the Super Bowl, but maybe you can't pass it as effectively as you have.
Right.
Maybe you can. Maybe you're like you were on Sunday and you're every bit as efficient.
Maybe you're better because you have a play-action game.
But I just think it's you can't just say if they could run the ball, they would have won those Super Bowls. It's never that simple.
The argument is you know Moss was good. You know Gronkowski and Hernandez are good. You know they can contribute in the passing game.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to fall off the map passing-wise. You're
right.
still going
to
have positive matchups and production in the passing game. Right?
I agree.
The one thing you haven't had, well, two things you haven't had is a good defense. And
yeah, I would argue that much more important than the running game has been their inability to get off the field.
Well, I think in this Super Bowl it would be interesting because they couldn't get off the field in this game at all. So now if you're a run-based team...
You can't,
you know
what's the difference?
Right. So
Eric's here.
And I know everybody...
Eric's bye.
Listen,
and
I think the more...
all kinds of noise.
The more things that you can do, the more different ways that you can win, obviously the better. So if Andy's right and you have those things that you think you know about your passing game, and now you add something that maybe you didn't know, like a running game, I agree with the emailer. You're probably going to be a better team.
Like Fred. He came into the year only being able to count on like five Pro Bowlers. Yeah. He wanted 11 to
now
count
Now he
on.
Has seven.
Right.
So he's really
he's
excited.
He's feeling better.
He's added Ridley to the mix.
Joe wants to know what is a NASCAR defense. Joe in
well,
Michigan.
That's the defensive ends. They call that their NASCAR package when they have all their defensive ends. Giants. And now, I mean, we could be going in that direction with Jermaine Cunningham. Maybe we're
So when they have all the defensive ends in the
they
game.
They bring ends in, move them inside, and you have this
was,
fast,
yeah,
speed-based
it was
defensive
Tuck,
front.
Umanura, Pierre Paul, and they were all in there together.
Okay.
As opposed to just on the outside.
And they name that their NASCAR
They call it their
defense.
NASCAR thing.
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
I thought that was well-known.
No, it really isn't.
No.
It's not well-known. Eric's here.
If
with,
Fred doesn't know it and one emailer doesn't know it, it's not well-known.
Eric's here with the practice report. And
brought to you by?
Aaron's.
And Bill Belichick.
I don't know. It was on the screen behind you, so I just went with Aaron's.
Yeah.
We can't go Bob's Furniture?
Do we still have them?
Sure. They weren't on the screen.
He doesn't pop up on the website annoyingly
anymore. No, but they're
anymore.
On the
Thank
website.
God. They have I doubt it.
Bob's Furniture is on the website, sure.
So from practice, you want the good or the bad first?
Bad.
Bad, Dan Connolly, not there.
Ooh.
That's not good.
No, especially after...
You said it was bad.
After
so.
He made an appearance yesterday.
Right.
At the charitable event.
Especially since Dan Copen signed with the our fallback plan, who was on speed
Went
dial,
to Denver.
Is no longer on speed dial.
Right.
He's got Peyton Manning's
so
hands
that's the
up
bad.
His
the good, Shane Vereen.
Back.
And running pretty comfortably, it looked like.
Okay.
That's good.
You know, not limited in what we saw. And we actually got to see a full 15 minutes today. And most of it was not stretching. Most of it was actually drills.
Wow.
What an amazing place. By rule, aren't you supposed to have to see 15 minutes?
No, you're only supposed to be allowed up until team drills start. So, however they structure practice, they could structure
okay, guys,
so that you stretch and
drills.
Then...
See you later.
That has right. happened before. Yeah.
So
has happened.
So legally, by the rules, they don't have to let you see anything?
No.
That's
they
what
do,
you're saying?
No, they do have to let you
see. I don't think that's true.
No,
but,
they
but
do
Paul,
let you.
That's where the grayness of the writing of the rules get teams in trouble, you know, because.
My fault. I apologize. I was just making a joke.
No, because, but it's not really a joke because if that's the rule.
It's serious.
Up until team drills. You know, we saw it in camp all year. They didn't do stretching until half an hour into it. They started with team drills. So technically.
Well, but camp is different.
I know that, but if they structured the practice the same way now, they could technically say you can't see any of it.
No, they would have to call
you
out at some point
right, they would
for something.
They would have to change when our access
period
starts.
A half hour into the practice
yeah, right,
when
right,
you'd be allowed
right.
in.
You'd be like, hey, how come everybody's really sweaty and dirty? Yeah.
You guys have been practicing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So it is. All right. Anyway, so Connolly's out.
Yep. Black jerseys.
Black jerseys. There were four of them.
Wait.
I know one.
Mallett.
No.
Some
no.
running back.
Marcus Cannon got one.
Marcus Cannon got one.
That's
correct.
Brandon Bolden.
Locker.
Did not.
Lex Hilliard.
Did not.
No. Danny Woodhead.
Did not.
Matthew Slater.
Did not.
Somebody who's
Julian
fast
Edelman
could have.
Did.
Julian Edelman.
That's two.
Was he Chris Johnson?
Could have been.
I'm assuming somebody played
yeah.
Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I would.
When Chris Johnson has 4 yards, you
sure.
say, hey, he got us ready.
Right. So O-line and... wide receiver slash running back got one, and then two defenders.
Should I be able to guess this for good reason?
No.
Sterling
okay,
Moore.
Then just tell us.
All right, Justin Francis.
Ooh, I like him.
And Jeff Tarpinian.
Okay.
So maybe playing the role of Cameron Wimbley, Justin Francis perhaps?
Sure.
And Tarpinian, I don't know, maybe he just had a good
Did
week.
Did something.
Yeah, he just had a good week. Special teams-wise, who knows?
That Colin McCarthy guy?
Oh, yeah.
Is that his name?
Sure.
So that's it. Oh, and the new guy, Kyle, C-E-Y-H-L.
It's pronounced
good
Kyle.
Good job, Freddie.
That's what we thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
We re-signed him.
Kyle Quarles. We re-signed him?
Is he related to
oh, really?
Is he related to the other Quarles that was in the league?
Shelton or Sheldon?
Who was
Sheldon Quarles?
Sheldon
is he related?
Quarles.
You know?
I think it's the same spelling, but I don't know if he's related.
Okay.
We'll have to find that out.
So Kyle.
Kyle Quarles.
Yeah.
I've never seen that spelled that way.
Never
nope,
seen
me
that.
Neither.
Kyle. And what did Bill Belichick have to say?
First question was about Troy Brown.
Ooh.
And it wasn't a plant. Well, Mike Reese asked it.
Wasn't a plant. Well,
no.
Mike Reese asked.
No, it was. It wasn't. And no, it wasn't.
A little unintended comedy.
No. Yes. And Tom Curran was also interested in that too. So that was how the whole thing started off. But you know, praising Arizona to the hilt, particularly Calais. How do you pronounce his first
Calais,
name?
I
Calais
believe.
Campbell. Loved him. It's kind of like Jared Cook answers. The Jared Cook answers last week that were sort of over the top, and then. Had some good stuff to say about Peterson and his returnability and that kind of thing. Got very upset with the last question by our buddy Mike Giardi from Comcast.
Who, nice.
Now, in Giardi's defense.
Are you facing
Wes Welker? No. In Giardi's defense, I knew where he was going with the question, but as he is wont to do, Bill wouldn't let him finish the question and just assumed he knew what he was going to ask and just laid into him.
Eric gets mad when he yells at other people now.
Right, because you have to
Eric
let,
even
have
has to editorialize the
Have
question.
The decency to let somebody finish asking the question and making their point before you excoriate them.
So what happened?
Yeah.
He started asking about the rookies, and he was saying a lot's being made about the rookies and the way they performed. And he was starting to try to say, but you need to reel them in, I would assume, They still need to be told. He was going down that line, and Bill starts, are you kidding me with that question? Of course they need to be reminded, blah, 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 blah. And he starts, you know, giving it to Giardi about how, yeah, they're at the very top, meaning nobody's above them and having to be reminded that it's only one. Like, relax. Relax.
Wow. The skinny petite men are joining up to beat up Bill.
But it sounded like he was right about what Giardi was going to ask.
But Giardi was asking, they do need to be reeled in, don't they?
And he was saying, of course they need to be reeled in.
But I think Giardi's point was a lot of people are praising them to the hilt, and is it going to their head kind of thing, and how much do you need to reel them in? Or because I think what Giardi said was, you've said that this is a mature group, this rookie class, but with all of the attention they're getting this week, and that's when Bill's like, he just wouldn't let him fit. I think Giardi was trying to say that, look, these guys need to be reeled in. Mm-hmm. And Bill was, you know, treating it like he was saying, oh, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, you're not sure that Bill just didn't see it as an opportunity to pound a message.
That's what it seems like.
It sounds
and
like
he took it out on
and he took it out on Giardi.
He has no trouble with collateral damage.
Yeah, Giardi was collateral damage.
Bill has no trouble being an a-hole to somebody.
No,
that's what it sounds like.
And our boy Giardi was collateral damage, clearly.
Was he mad?
Was he mad?
Afterwards?
We joked about it. He and I joked about it, but
he was
I looked over to him when Bill started doing that, and like, yeah, like they're at the top, and then Giardi's just like sitting typing and like nodding his head like, all right, if it weren't in this situation, I'd be swinging right now.
Well, he got some good quotes out of it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got
He got the soundbite everybody will use.
He got the soundbite everyone will use.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, if he's anything like me, I like
he
doing
took one
that.
For the team.
Andy and I like to count how many times our questions are used by everybody, the answers.
To me, that's
an indication of a good question.
It's a measurement.
It is.
It's a badge of honor.
Sure.
Anything else, Eric?
Those are really the highlights.
Okay. Well, good report. Thank you. And by the way, you got a lot of praise on your After Further Review article on Monday.
Oh, we did?
You did.
Oh, okay.
You.
Good. Thank you.
You wrote it.
No, I didn't know who the praise was from. I hadn't heard any.
Well, if you
read
the comments after your...
I haven't logged in to
please.
See it. I haven't.
Every single one of them. No, seriously.
A lot
of people liked that. They enjoyed it.
I enjoyed doing it, actually. I really do.
Good.
I think it's a lot more... valuable to people the day after a game than just going to the locker room and getting some, you know, mild reaction about the previous game and looking ahead. I think it's, I don't know, I just really liked doing it.
And you know, here's the thing. It's and I told these guys, if they have any nuggets that they saw, give it to you so you can use it. Because I think nowadays you got this game rewind thing that everyone can buy.
Right.
And
use on Wednesday.
DVRs. I think a lot of the hardcore fans are watching the game 2-3 times.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that at all.
And,
yeah.
But they're doing it at home without anyone to ask questions of, so they're making a lot of assumptions. So I think even with that ability that people have, this is still valuable because you can get insight into what you're seeing where they can't.
So maybe Eric should do this as a live chat. Watch the tape. All right, people, we're going to start watching the tape now. Send in your questions. Boom, boom, boom. Interact.
Well,
it's not
kinda,
a bad idea.
I
know it's not.
I mean,
what'd you call me?
Eric.
Oh, don't ever do that.
I did ask, like, when I first started doing it, I sent out a tweet saying, I'm going to do this today if you have anything you want specifically.
No, but even better if
we
could
very easily set you up with a Cover It Live chat on Monday, and you could do it with people.
Well, it's not a bad idea. I just wonder, like, because it took me... I really wanted to take my time going over it, so I don't want to feel like I'm rushed
how
while
about,
people
how about
are saying,
you, how
hurry
about,
up and get to this.
No, but
that.
How about you post it, whenever that is, you have the chat after you post it.
That might be that
oh,
might be
what
doable.
I was thinking.
You were thinking,
I thought
as I'm
be
watching
cool
film?
If you said, we're all going to watch this now, like, and
well, but see, some people watch differently. Like, some people watch faster than others, or you might want to concentrate on one particular thing.
You're not allowed to
thing.
Let them watch it with you.
No, they'd all have to buy it. The NFL would be happy with him because they could all buy it, and then he just made
and
them.
And then everyone's, okay, start in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be exact, but, you know, we just finished the first quarter.
Yeah, that's a little bit more complicated than I thought. I thought you post it, and then you
I never
you
know
discuss
what he
it.
Wants to complicate and not complicate. Well, I think that'd be cool.
You don't want to do something you can't sustain.
I think that's hard to do.
I think it would be hard to do.
I think what you want to do is
it's
hard
to It's a great idea.
It's hard to sync everybody
because,
up.
Yeah. Well, like, for instance, there were a couple of...
I'm an idea man.
There were a couple of times when I stopped and watched a play 3-4 times because I was looking not only at personnel, but just how it unfolded, who missed a block, that kind of thing.
Yep.
People at home, who or wherever, might just be watching a play and then moving on to the next one. Right. It's hard to time that
if
up.
If you've got like 10,000 people at work, all this, just productivity around the world right, being seriously. Shut down.
No, but it was fun. I really enjoyed doing
just
it.
Just an FYI with our login, if someone else tries to log in, it bumps you off.
Does it bump you off? Oh, I
well,
thought
the
it
other
just,
day it bumped me off.
I thought it didn't let you in.
No, the other day it
See,
bumped
that's
me
what
off.
I said.
So somebody tried to log in.
And they were given access. And
that's
I
what I said. That's what should
well,
happen.
Look, if you guys want to buy it, you can expense it.
No, I know. I actually said that to Paul. I go, if I find I'm using this and I keep getting bumped off, I'm just buying it and expensing
but
it.
But I figured since I'm here on Monday and you guys aren't, I would just use it Monday and then log off and you guys can use it on Tuesday.
Since we're here on Tuesday and you aren't.
That's what I mean.
I know. I just didn't like the tone of that sentence.
It was tonality.
It's a tonality issue.
No, I know. He's only Eric.
He's
okay.
Very sensitive.
You're doing good. It's all right.
But Andy was doing something on the rewind, and I had put something up to do, on our Take Tuesday, and I wanted to get a screen capture.
Oh, so you logged in while he was.
So Chris logged in, and it knocked Andy off, which I said what you said. It should be Chris shouldn't be able to log in if somebody else is already on.
Right. Check for daycare. Give me that, num-num.
Kind of like when we do our InDesign documents. You can't get into one if somebody's already in it.
Right.
No, that's how it
InDesign,
should be.
Right.
You don't want people.
Two people making changes to the same thing.
Yep.
All right. Good, Eric. Excellent. Brooklyn, Matt.
Not for you. You can't cash a check to RKA.
What are you talking about?
Num-nut. That's against the law.
All right.
Why don't you do it so I can send you to jail?
Brooklyn, Matt writes in. He says, I'm glad I instigated a classic off-topic in-progress moment about the MMA. Now for the emailer who's upset about the bad reputation of MMA audiences and is saying it's a better class of people because the ticket prices are high. I've seen the throng of miscreants that go. If the tickets are expensive and those people are there, it's only because they've blown 6 months of their lottery ticket money on it. Fred, I agree the quality of audience comes into play when deciding whether or not to attend an event. For example, I love the band, rock bands Kiss and Guns N' Roses. Yes, but when I go to their concerts, I was put off by the type of people that were there with me. They were mostly low-functioning bottom feeders of society.
Like you.
Look, Paul, it's simple sociology. We want to share our interests with those whom we deem social equals. It's the same thing as you hating common football fans. They're not your
I was going to ask, why would you go to a football game? Because you never see more Neanderthals than you do in an NFL stadium.
They're not your equal, football knowledge-wise, or on a professional level. And, oh, Andy, you're just Andy.
For the record, I have no problem with going to games with people. I don't care who's there.
Yeah, I don't really.
I mean, I would go to a boxing match or an MMA if I had interest in the event. I really don't. Not because of the people that are there.
I don't think I care for this whole thought process.
And Kevin,
seems like it's all either racially or socioeconomically or something.
That's what that's
this
what
is inappropriate.
I don't get.
I mean, I'm open-minded. I just see a fellow sports fan.
You're about as open-minded as a trap.
No, but I don't care if someone. And
it's
I know the guy was
terrible Fred joke.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
There's perfume on that
steel
pig.
Trap. Nothing gets in.
I don't know. It was terrible.
I don't know.
Kevin, the bad Kevin says, "Can you D-bags have a production meeting later? This is BS." I don't know what particularly he's talking about.
The show in general,
the production, what we're talking about.
Our next production meeting will be our first,
and
we are not going to have one.
And last,
this show works because it's unscripted and out of bounds.
Oh, are you no socks?
Great.
No socks is here.
I love how we announce it, and I love how he has a character now.
He has no socks.
Great.
Nick writes in, question, can Devin McCourty return to his rookie season form against Fitzgerald and shut down Larry as he did Calvin Johnson his rookie season?
No.
Well, I will say I was encouraged by the way...
what was that? You're whispering, Paul.
He did McCourty. Not shut down Calvin Johnson his rookie year.
I was encouraged by the way McCourty played on Sunday, though. The non-pass interference call in the end zone notwithstanding, which I think should have been a pass interference call.
And how much would that have changed your opinion if it had been called?
Not a whole lot.
No?
Because the rest of the game I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah.
And I don't think it really would have affected the outcome of the game too much either. So
again, one game, we'll see. Question two, while Razai looked better after the first quarter, it seems that he put into a position of weakness when playing in the slot. A slot corner usually needs to be smaller so he can move more quickly, turn his hips, and stay with a shifty receiver. But Razai is tall, has long legs. Why not put him on the outside so he can run and jump with tall receivers in straight lines?
He is on the outside. He comes in the nickel, and Arrington moves into the slot.
Just because he is the nickel back doesn't mean he's playing in the slot all the time.
Right.
Now, I think he had a play, he had a pass interference in the slot.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he didn't go in the slot at all.
As Bill says, you can't on defense, you can't always decide what you're doing.
Right. Right.
If you're lined up outside
and the guy runs over the middle, you're going to end up in the slot.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of motions, a lot of formations, personnel.
For the most part, he's outside. And
the way they
bump somebody
do
in.
It is Kyle Arrington bumps in generally, and he's the outside cover guy.
And P.S., I have Ridley and Hernandez on my fantasy team, and I won. Very good, Nick.
Good story.
Dan wants to know, this will be the last question. Dan's in D.C. He says, do you think Phil Simms and Jim Gray do a good job calling the game?
Jim Gray.
I noticed that they missed a lot of things.
It's Jim Nance, by the way.
Not as much as you missed.
And got things wrong when calling last week's game. Curious about your thoughts. I don't know. I didn't listen that closely.
Yeah, we don't really.
I didn't have a lot of things that stuck out to me as being wrong. Did you,
no.
Andy?
It was interesting that I thought Nance had a few times when he's normally so professional and so smooth that he wasn't. It really stuck out to me. He stumbled and fumbled a couple times. But other than that, factually, and I thought it was fine. Simms made one comment that I remember thinking Patriots fans aren't going to like that, but I can't now recall what it was.
Yeah, I mean, Simms to me is a – I think that group, they do the Patriots game so often that I think they're pretty pro-Patriot, I would say. But I didn't notice anything that was really out of the ordinary during the course of the game.
Not that I heard of
it. You usually would hear about it, Fred,
right,
because you have the blog going during the game.
Yeah.
Nobody complained anything?
Not really. No, there wasn't a lot of complaints.
Yeah, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell to say Phil Simms is giving it to us again, you know?
Well, they have.
Yeah, I know.
Believe me.
And you
they
usually,
have said that.
You usually make fun of those people.
Right.
Do you not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
On the blog?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when Fred's making fun of you,
you're in trouble.
All right, well, that's going
to
be it for this
chips.
Edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is here for the playbook. John, what's in the playbook today?
What's in the playbook today? Well, that's a great question. How about a little bit of Eric?
Oh, Eric, we've renamed the show. It's the man and Rook. Because his reaction to light pumpkin cream cheese was as feminine as anything you've ever done. Let's see what the...
We had the light pumpkin cream cheese from Dunkin' Donuts.
I've never seen anyone get
Patriots,
so excited over
Patriots
light pumpkin
social.
Cream.
Oh yeah, it was really good.
Like
it
made
really
his
good.
Day. Ooh, light
what,
pumpkin.
Is this? I haven't heard about. It. Is this a donut flavor or is this a
no cream, cream cheese? It's a flavor of cream cheese.
Oh, light pumpkin cream
simple
cheese.
Shout out to our sponsor.
Uh-huh. Oh no, that's that was not fabricated as a shtick.
It was a
you
simple shout out to the sponsor.
You were gay over that.
I thanked him for the donuts. I didn't venture down
what?
The road.
It means happy. What? It means happy. He was really happy.
That's one definition.
It turned him gay.
All right. So
thanks for that. We also appreciate that, Andy. Thank
no
you
problem.
So much. Let's see, I'm gay and he's got a big head. So there we go.
It is what it is. We got to accept
heard,
who we are.
I heard you were going after him for his.
Yeah,
his
I heard
size
that too.
Yesterday.
I was getting tweets that you were ripping me yesterday.
What?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Did I rip you?
Something about a big
us.
Head. I think.
I heard you were ripping us.
Did I rip you for what?
Are you like me?
Know.
You rip
what
so many people that you forget.
That's what I'm hearing on Twitter.
Let's
on the Twitter.
Let's we'll rewind the tape.
All right.
That's
well,
fine.
John's
okay
coming
that.
Up with the game. I mean, playbook. And don't forget cold hard football facts at 4 o'clock with Kerry Byrne. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly.
Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.